And that's what really comes down to with the jealousy stuff, is because at the end of the day, when you're fucking other girls as a couple, it generally works out better when you meet in real life and you develop some sort of connection, as opposed to like pulling somebody off the internet. I have to make the choice. I like girls and I like boys. I don't have to make the choice. I like girls and I like boys. I, you, he, together. Come on, baby, let's go. I, you, she, together. Come on, baby, let's go. Whips, crops, canes, whatever. Come on, baby, let's go. Cuffs, chains, shorts of leather. Come on, baby, let's go. I, you, he, together. Come on, baby, let's go. I, you, she, together. Come on, baby, let's go.
I don't have to make the... Hello, you guys. Welcome to the show. Too excited. Hey, everybody. I'm Ari Shaffir, and this is Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I have a fun episode today. Well, you know, regular fun. Christine Evans joins me to talk about threesomes. Christine is, she's dating Big J Okerson, and they got threesomes. They do it a lot, I guess. So come on, guys, be mature, guys, seriously, be mature. If you ever want to know how to like keep a straight face for things, here's what I did. One time, Brody Stevens was hosting the UCB. It was before the UCB. It was when the M Bar, hottest alternative show of the week, was the Comedy Death Ray show at the M Bar, run by Scott Aukerman and Chris Porter. Not Chris Porter, something else Porter. But it was mobbed. Fucking Silverman was there every week, and Galifianakis, and Bob Odenkirk, and Cross would come, and fucking all these people. It was great. And young guys like me would just go to even, you know, hang out and be a part of it. And then Brody Stevens, who was more into the alt scene, he got a night. It was the Brody Stevens Interruption or something like that. I forget what they called it. And it was just Brody, you know, bringing people up. And he brought up David Taylor, a friend of mine who's been on this podcast before. On the episode about Software Millionaire, where we talked a lot about prison rape. Because, you know, software millionaires. And so David was like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but I got to figure out a way to fuck with Brody, and I can't figure out a way how. And we were at a party, a backyard party in L.A., and we were drinking and having a good time. And I was like, well, you know, if you want, I could always take my dick out. And the light bulb went off his head, and he was like, yeah, yes, hold on, let me think how to work that in, yes. So I waited at the M Bar in the back with a zip-up sweatshirt and tearaway sweatpants, and I waited there having fun until David went up, and then when he brought Brody back up, and then I just walked forward, took off my shirt, left my belt on, ripped off the pants, and then started making my way to the stage. And it was like the people in the front didn't see me because they're all facing forward. So there was this like wave of gasps as I would pass by into people's peripheral vision. And they'd be like, oh! And then more people would turn around. It's like when you can hear a fight breaking out. You don't hear the punches. You just hear the people's reaction to the fights. And then it got louder and louder as I went to the stage. And Brody is super homophobic. I think it's because he was molested as a child. That's said for a laugh, but I think that actually happened. And so Brody is also very addicted to the spotlight, so he can't leave the stage. But at the same time, he's offended by my nudity that's out there. And so he started running, like literally running away from me. And I would chase him a little bit, like on the stage. And then he would slowly come back, start talking about my balls. And how they look saggy or something, and I would like mush them up, you know, like those stress relief balls. Come on, man, I'm trying to do something. Sorry about that. And then, yeah, so we started fucking around, and then afterwards, I got off, and Andy Kindler went on next, and his first words, first he cleaned off the microphone, and then his first words were, "Cancel my order of portobello mushrooms." Good time. Why would I remember that? Why did I remember that? I have no idea. Between the phone call and the rest of my memory. I have no idea why I brought it up, but yeah, I really don't know. Brody, David Taylor. Yeah. Oh, the M-Bar. Guys, come on. Say no to drugs. Anyway, let's start this episode. So here's the deal. I'll just tell you about myself. First of all, I finally participated in the roast battle. I was more nervous. Why don't I just leave it on mute then? It's my fault at this point. I participated. I roasted Big J Okerson. We had a roast battle against each other. The roast battle is my new favorite show in LA for two reasons. One, because This Is Not Happening has moved to New York a little bit more when I'm not there. Although we are doing shows in January, February, and March in Los Angeles at the Riot Comedy Festival in LA in January, and then at the Improv in February and March. But since I've left, and also since I've been there, the rise of the roast battle is just an amazing, fun show in the Belly Room. So they did one for the New York Comedy Festival, which felt more like a festival this year than ever before, instead of just like a bunch of shows at the same time. This really felt like a collection. And we did a This Is Not Happening show that went great. Bridget Everett blew the roof off the place. Man, she killed it. Fucking Norman was good too, and Mike Lawrence was good. The whole show was good, and Jim Norton was good. He was afraid he wouldn't be good, but he was really good. He was really good. So anyway, we also did a roast battle, and I was more nervous for that than my special by far. Like not close. And the first round I lost to Big J Okerson, 1-0. I stumbled over my first joke, really fucked it up. Came back a little bit, you know. Had a showing, but he took the first round. I took the second round, and then it came down to a final third round to see who would win, and it was close. But the Jew was victorious. I am now 1-0 in roast battles, and I might retire with that. It's God, I was nervous. Or I might try to do it again, but in the Belly Room. Ah, it was fun. Belly Room is better. The energy in the Belly Room is better. We're trying to work on a title for my special right now. I'm leaning towards paid regular, and Comedy Central is leaning towards anything but paid regular. They want like a regular title, like Suffering for Freedom or Thank You Universe. Something that's from the special, which I like doing for my other things. Something that's from the special, but also speaks to an overall thing. Kind of like Revenge for the Holocaust, my CD, which is like, you know, I'm Revenge for the Holocaust. I'm a secular Jew. And also, it's a line from the CD. Oh, and by the way, anyone who listened to last week's episode with Steve Simone, where we went over his CD, his brand new CD, so brave of him to let his new CD out for free like that. The comments he got, whoever bought stuff on his iTunes or donated money to him through the website or through Simone's website, but even especially the people who went on to iTunes and clicked on Remember This, his album, and left a comment, I'm telling you, he appreciated everyone. That's a guy who's financially barely getting by. And even wins, he's barely getting by on just wins in the industry. And every one of those comments made him feel like $1 million. I'm telling you, whoever did it, seriously, thank you. It fucking livened him up. He went up to number 2 on iTunes for like a while. Then he was number 4 for a while. And people are loving the CD. So, yeah, anyone who did that, if you listened to it last week, or if you're going to listen to it now because you just heard this, if you listen to it and like it, go to iTunes. You don't have to buy it. Buy it if you want to, but leave him a fucking review and a 5-star rating as appreciation. He would really appreciate it. So this episode on this week's podcast is all about, I guess sex in a way, but really it's all about threesomes. It's called... The Unicorn Whisperer. You'll find out what a unicorn is. A unicorn is the rarest of the rare. My other friend told me this. Is a single, straight female who's willing to fuck a male and female couple. You can find skeevy dudes who are willing to have gangbangs, but to find a single female, it's just difficult. They're called unicorns in that world. So I've heard. I've still never had a three-way. I didn't get any hookers in China. I've still never had, that was the plan, to get like a Nigerian and an Italian hooker in China. But then they only had old Chinese hookers. And gross. So, So Christine came in and talked about threesomes, what it's like to get them. And yeah, how she even drums them up is amazing to me. That's the threesome whisperer part. The whisperer comes on, the unicorn whisperer. So good episode. Got it from a girl's point of view, non-comedian too, which is great, but we're friends. So she's been dating Jay for like a year and a half, something like that, a while. I don't know time. But so we're comfortable with each other. So she was able to open up, which was really good. A couple dates real quick. Oh, and one little thing first before the dates. All Things Comedy is the network that this is on. All Things Comedy is not really a network. We're more of a podcast co-op. It's run by me and Al Madrigal and Bill Burr and Tom Segura and Christina Pazitsky, Brody Stevens. I believe that might be wrong. That might be wrong. Tom Papa, though. Greg Proops. Yeah, tons of guys. And we just have this co-op. We all try to help each other. Steve Simone is on there for his podcast. Good Times. Good Times with Steve Simone, yes. There's a bunch of us. Big J just now got on there with his SDR show. We got a new studio in Hollywood. It's hard being in these other studios. I'm at John Lovett's studio right now for Punch Drunk Sports, which you guys should all tune into and subscribe to on iTunes. But that's going away. And what happens when a studio goes away is podcasts go away. So we are artist-owned. We're an artist-owned network. We're an artist-owned cooperative. And we don't have money that comes in. We're not backed by a business. So we want to start the studio, but we need $10,000. And Madrigal and Bill Burr are both out a shitload of money. So we are crowdsourcing it. We're asking you guys, if you want to support this network, to please give a couple bucks. That's where, by the way, that's where Punch Drunk Sports is going to move to. But we're trying to get things like Skype potential to be able to, so I can Skype in from New York and be able to take phone calls. So guys like GSP and Donald Cerrone and Nick Diaz can all call in. And Anderson Silva. If you don't know what I'm talking about, these guys all call into our podcast. You should listen to it. Oh, and Richard Sherman or Michael Sherman. Crabtree, both those guys have called in. So anyway, give us a couple bucks. I'm going to put a link up on my webpage. You can also go to allthingscomedy.com and donate there. But I'll put a link up on the webpage about Al Madrigal's video that'll be on there, and he'll explain to you why, better than I can, why we need this money. But guys, we're just trying to do an artist-owned, artist-run cooperative. So these are a few things we have to ask for. Just this once in a while to help us get there. Once we really get started, once it really gets going as a business, then money will come in and we're fine. But right now, those guys are like losing cash to do this, and it's not fair anymore. So we just need 10 grand. I think we've already got almost 3,000. We'd appreciate your help. We're all trying to put the word out. Couple dates real quick. I'm going to Utah to Wise Guys, Salt Lake City, West Valley, I think. But I don't know the difference. This Friday and Saturday, come out. My first time in Utah. Since I recorded a commercial, my very first commercial, we did it in Monument Valley. And then the week after, starting Thursday, I'll be in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Get tickets to my website, arithegreat.com. Trying to arrange one show, one night in Montreal in December at Theatre St. Catharines. Hopefully we can make it happen. I haven't done my hour there ever. So this will be my last chance to do this hour before it's gone. I believe the special is going to air in January. So I got to get on my horse and get stuff going. I've got about 20 new minutes now. By the time January comes, hopefully I can have 35 good minutes. And then I'll fill in the rest with stuff that's really, really done from the special. You know? And maybe requests too. That's how Louis does. He has 45 minutes of new material, then he doesn't have anything else. He goes, what bits do you guys want to hear? And that's the last 15. All right, we'll see. Anyway, you guys, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 191. The Unicorn Whisperer with Christine Marie Evans. Yeah, it's a fun one. Enjoy.
Unicorns, I love them. 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 Unicorns, I love them.
Loved it.
Yeah.
She was all bruised up. She was all bruised up and happy about it.
Baldinger threatened to fire her after that.
Oh, really? He didn't realize she'd already fucked, like, other comics, too.
So
I'm like, we've been working in this business for a long time.
He's like, well, that's it. I told her if I hire her, she can't be doing that, and now I've got to fire her. I'm like, you can't do that.
Yet the industry guys fuck young girl comics, and it's fine. But I'm like, you really don't think the waitresses are going to fuck the comics? We're around charming men constantly.
Yeah. I had a friend point this out. They're like, when you're in a road room, I guess even that other place wasn't really, but like a road, you get guys that come through for like 3 days at a time and they spit the biggest game possible and they're charming and funny. And every one of them, there's three comics a week. One of them is probably going to hit on you like you've never been hit on in your life before.
Yeah.
And they go, and he goes, they continue to work in that environment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's not like they're that against it. It's fine.
No, it's also, you know, hard to date non-comics. Or yeah, you date your coworkers or comics, but it's like, if you have some guy trying to be funny and charming and, you know, sexy with you, you see through it a little bit more, I think, being around comedy. And it's also like the comics are usually just more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys are just more fun to be around. It's hard to, like, live in that environment and not think how much fun it would be to date a comic.
I used to hang out with a girl who was a manager. And she was like, you have to keep it quiet, it's so bad, whatever. But then she was like, no, I'm trying to date like a regular guy, a doctor. But she gets so bored with him so fast.
Yeah.
All these doctors would be like, they're boring. They don't do anything.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, so she just keep dating comics and being quiet about it.
We had a rule at the Comedy and Magic Club. It was like you'd get fired. If they found out you were fucking around with the comics at all.
Yeah.
What I told my staff at the stand is, I said, you guys are all young, beautiful girls. The comics will be really more than happy to fuck you.
Oh.
And they'll probably talk about it and they'll tell everybody. So I was like, if you want to get yourself, and I go, and
do they really tell everybody?
Yeah. I mean, you know, all guys do.
Right. I guess maybe.
You guys are going to talk about it. So.
Yeah. Don't girls talk about it too, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, I was like,
they'll talk about it. And I said, and if push comes to shove, we're probably going to pick the comic over the waitress. So just know that too.
Right. You guys come and go. The comics stay here a little longer.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's a fun
speech. So tell them to just be adult about it.
Yeah. I'm like, it can happen. I go, you know, you date somebody, you find a bitch. I try to tell them, I'm like, don't let yourself get tossed around by these guys. I'm like, just because, especially hanging out with everybody, I'm like, I know how they talk about girls. I know how they're going to talk about you. It's not going to be good. They're going to, you know.
Some girls, they just, I guess, enjoy doing that, though.
Maybe. Maybe some girls, I don't know. Girls nowadays really like to be
there's some girls who are like, yeah.
Like to put it out there.
They've hooked up with the scene.
Yeah.
The whole scene.
Yeah.
And they have that for skateboarders, too.
Well, I say,
and
too.
And bowlers.
With Jay, it's like, I'm really happy that I never fucked one of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the years that I've worked in this business, and I think coming from the Comedy Magic Club was really good, but it's like, it'd be a bummer for everybody if he found out that I had, you know, fucked DeRosa and fucked you and fucked, you know, and then it's like, how can you, like that jealousy is gonna,
gonna
get to you.
Maybe. It's just out there. I know a lot of guys that, like, wouldn't go out with girls because, like, they used to hook up with so-and-so. Like, that was 6 years ago. He's like, nah.
Yeah. Just, I mean, coming from L.A. where everybody fucks everybody.
That doesn't really happen. Just some people that happens to.
Well, small town. You know what? I shouldn't say L.A. I'm from Hermosa Beach. So it's like, that's definitely it's a way more towny place.
The staffs always fuck each other.
Oh, yeah. The staffs always fuck each other. My staff's running rampant with each other, I'm sure.
Oh,
I
really?
Just try to la, 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 la.
Yeah, they must.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, it's hilarious. I was with Tomzik once, and he's married, but there were these girls, him and Steve and me, and there were these girls that came up to me after the show, and they were like flirting. And then what's his name? And they're like, oh, you should come to this par with me. And Jeff and Tomzik were like, Tomzik and Steve were like, no, thanks. And I was like, I don't have the energy.
No.
Yeah, it was like three of them, too, or two girls. One of your staff was like, let's go. We're going to that Brooklyn bar, right? like 12:45.
They're ready to party.
Like, yeah. Wow.
I think, too, it's exciting for the staff, too, to hang out because, you know, with the exception, like if I weren't dating a comic, I don't know that would necessarily be my social life in the extent that it is. So
comic.
I think, yeah. Oh, so yeah. I think for the girls, I think it is kind of exciting if they hear
what?
That the comics are coming out and everybody's going to hang. Like, they want to go to that place
Oh, yeah.
more, you know?
Did you see that thing with Tommy Kang?
Yeah, that was great. I imagine I read it in Ghetto Black Lady voice. I was
really?
Like, yeah.
Wait, she's like, Ghetto Black Lady voice again.
How could you do that to me? Bend over. I imagine it's some overweight black woman that's all up on that Asian D.
It seems so black,
it's
right?
So black.
It seemed like that. It was on
Tommy
Patrick.
Does have a great ass, to be fair.
Does he?
Yeah.
I like how she kept it non-racial, though.
She kept it non-racial, but he's
the guy
also
with a great ass seating, and it was like, I definitely would have put Asian in there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to describe who it is to get help.
And probably because he's the only guy downstairs. They like don't, oh, you know, it's a bunch of sexy
oh, yeah,
girls,
maybe,
and then
only
this
one.
This black belt Asian guy.
Yeah. Hold on. I want you to read this. I want to find it. I would love to hear this. Okay, Tommy Kang. Here we go. Go.
Black lady?
Yeah, read that like you did. I hear that.
Hot guy working at the Stan Comedy Club tonight. Dear hottie working downstairs at the Stan Comedy Club, wearing a black tee and jeans, seating people for tonight's midnight show.
First of all, this is a horrible black.
It's horrible.
Ahead.
I don't like it. I don't like doing this on the spot. This was just.
Oh, really?
This is the thing.
Yeah.
I'm funny to people that aren't funny for a living.
Oh, really?
When called on to be funny in front of comics.
Yeah. Then it's
I think it's harder and I panic and I'm like, but when I'm sitting in the office with my stupid staff, like fucking around, just, you know, you're like, please let me buy you a drink or 10. No, you know, I can't do it. I don't even know why I agreed to this. But this is what it is. I almost got busted staring you down with my awkward date tonight. What was I supposed to do? Ignore that ass? Impossible. You are a fine creature. So I didn't do it in black lady voice, but I mean, you hear black lady in that. You are a fine creature.
You're a fine creature.
You dropped my date's receipt as we were exiting. Lucky me.
What does
somebody
that mean?
Do the right thing and hook a sister up here. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's sister. Obviously a black lady.
Wait, what does that mean? You dropped my...
Because he bent over, so she got to see his ass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, aggressive.
Aggressive. No
I love
picture.
I'm like, who was I think our booker put this up. I'm like, you're just perusing Woman for Men on Craigslist and
no.
You come across it.
Hoping, just hoping. Maybe today's the day. Dear fat guy who books the stand. I can't tell if you're fat or tall.
You're just tell. Big. You're a large man.
Yeah, I saw you getting out of your warden job. Does he have to avoid like shivs and stuff?
I don't think so. I think he's pretty safe there. He's been there for a long time. Yeah. I know he just wants to get out of it, but you know.
Oh, does he really?
It's there's no retirement plan in owning a comedy club that actually has like a pension and shit attached to it.
Last a certain amount of years, right?
Yeah.
They get all those people those jobs, they retire at 20 years and at 25 years. So it was like not a day later.
Yeah, it's all the worst. It's insane.
Yeah. Some of those government jobs. Oh, this isn't government. This is private.
Is it? I don't know.
All prisons are private, right?
Probably. I don't know enough about
either.
That stuff.
That's Dave Smith.
Dave now.
Yeah. Have you seen waitresses get really upset and have like a fight, infighting? I have. The store.
Waitresses get really upset.
Once they date a comic or something and start making it like a them or me.
No, I've never seen something come up like that because I think, too, because of that, we'll probably pick the comic. I think if girls get into a weird thing with the comic, they try very much to, like, just let it pass, let the dust settle, and hope that everything just calms down. I've seen people, after a situation happens, I have seen a waitress, like, get upset or run out into the back and, you know,
cry,
all that stuff. And you're kind of, you know, that's when you start going, like, all right, I get that you're emotional, but can you go try to sell some drinks?
What, with DeRosa? It's got to be DeRosa. DeRosa
no,
shows up there.
I don't know how DeRosa. DeRosa has fucked everybody.
But he shows up with another girl to the same place, like, the next night. And he's like, oh, fuck, this is awkward. I fucked that girl last night. And then
I'm
with somebody else. Like, well, why would you come back to where she works then?
Yeah.
It wasn't chance she was working here.
It's just everybody. A room, you know, if you throw a dart, it's like, there was one point where there were like four young girl comics and there was a joke about fucking DeRosa and they were all like, well, me too. I'm
really?
Like, I don't, yeah.
I'm Spartacus. They all just.
DeRosa was like the male version of what I used to be. He just like waits around at 4 a.m. and takes home whoever.
Is that what he used to do?
Yeah.
Hermosa?
Well, yeah. I grew up a fat girl with small tits in L.A. So I wouldn't even talk about sex because I was like, if people hear me talking about sex, they're going to be grossed out by it. So.
You ever hear Rogan talking about the fat girl with like a mini skirt at the bar, the club, was just like working it?
Oh, so gross.
He was like, what she's trying to say. He goes, what's she trying to do? And he goes, here's what she's trying to say. She's trying to say, hey, might not be the best ride, but there's no line. you like my place?
I do like your
Beatrice,
place.
What's it called? Decorated it with my stuff.
They mounted the TV the morning of the day you got home. You were gone for a month.
Yeah, I realized that. She goes, what about the ones that aren't in a frame? Do you want those up? I'm like, yeah, sure, if you could.
I do like it. I think it's a super cool. I think it's a, I mean, you have good, I can't even say that word.
Amenities. I like a dishwasher a lot.
But I think your apartment for a one bedroom is more expensive than mine is for a two bedroom. And I'm one block over.
I'm paying way too much here.
It's a lot.
This is clanging.
I also, I took a lease over from Brian. He had, you know,
they're going to raise it on you when you move out.
They raised it on me when Brian moved out and I put somebody else on the lease. They raised it a lot, but they said that they would only raise it like $25 a year from now on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll see if they wouldn't put it in writing, though. I don't want to get, I just want to make more money. I don't want to get priced out of my neighborhood. I love it here.
It's pretty nice.
I'm like, I didn't move to New York to live in fucking Queens.
I know, it's garbage there. Long Island City.
I hate Brooklyn. I hate Harlem. I hate it all. Everybody that lives there and says it's great has just never lived in Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
When I come home at 10 p.m. or something from a flight, and I'm like, oh, I'm tired from like flying and transferring all day. And then I'm like, I get out of the cab and I walk the half block. I'm like, oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, I live in the best neighborhood. And
so good.
There's like 5 24-hour places in a two-block radius.
That place across the street from you would have been perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm still mad about that.
I was so
place.
Excited. I was like, we're going to be like friends.
Yeah. It's like it was a little worse than this place, but not much, and so much cheaper. And bottom floor.
Why didn't you take it?
I had a $73 collection out against me.
$73?
Yeah. They were like, nope. No, we have no collections policy. Oh,
that's bullshit. I let everything go away. I wait 7 years. I never pay anything.
Just no, yeah, really?
No. And I'll yell at them if they call me.
Get the fuck away from me. I'm not paying you.
I'm like, you guys are shitheads.
I had a thing where I canceled on a lady, and she was like, no, we have a 48-hour window. I'm like, no. I canceled on you a day before. Like, I made the reservation today. For a psychologist, and then I canceled like that night, and they were like, no. I'm like, no, fuck that. I didn't get to use the service. You can't just make a policy and just bill me.
Yeah, that's retarded.
Yeah, and so then they were like, you're in collections. I'm like, well, I don't care. I'm not paying it.
I'm not paying
it. No, I paid it.
Now you wish you had. Now you're paying for it in this way overpriced apartment.
Hundreds of dollars extra.
You have a bike rack.
I have a what? Yeah, I don't have a bike though.
You should get a bike.
I do like that bike. Little courtyard area where you can like put your trash, so it's not like out front. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Sort of. It's a small thing.
Yeah.
And I am in like nowhere. Like there's nothing behind me.
Yeah. We have a. I always get creeped out that I'm going to like look out, Mike, because we're on the ground floor.
Yeah, but you're ground floor black. I mean, back.
Yeah, I still think there's going to be, there's a vacant building with a bunch of homeless squatters in it.
Yeah.
So when I was in the other room, I used to always see them. And I'm always just terrified. I'm going to like open my eyes and be laying in bed. And there's just going to be a face staring back at me. Like, yeah. I hate it. Like, I'll block the windows when I'm by myself.
What was I going to say? Do you see the neighborhood getting a little worse? I see more homeless-y people sometimes now.
No, they're all floating around. I mean, it is still...
But
you know,
on
this
4th, I saw them by the church.
It's also, it depends on the weather.
Yeah.
And then also, we just have that halfway house on 3rd between 2nd and Bowery.
Where New School is?
I'm not sure if it's
right
where the New School
New
is.
School.
I won't walk down that block, though.
Yeah.
Like, I never.
3rd and Bowery, but I walk by. I mean, that's pretty much to get to the cellar.
Yeah, I always take 4th.
4th or 5th?
I always take 4th down. I don't walk down 3rd Street.
It's weird how it's just one block away. It makes it way better.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're, you know, we're in the East Village, so it's like they're still creeping around. And
I got offered Coke the other day, walking in. It was like 4 a.m., though, but as I was going into my door, someone was like, Coke, you know that thing?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, no way, the Coke dealers are here?
Yeah, they're just coming out, hanging. They're so usually over, usually the dealers are in the West Village. I actually don't get offered
exactly.
Drugs
they don't
that much.
Get here.
We just have the, like, junkies with their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a bunch of young white kids. I'm like, I get the drugs.
You think they come here
you?
For dog walking time?
they just
get their
end.
Morning Coke?
Yeah. I hate them. Yeah. I really do. I really do.
Like
I hate the young white kids on drugs hanging out begging.
Yeah.
I think they're just, it's like waste of space.
Oh man, you're ruining this for us. Especially when you're on drugs. It's not even mental health. You're like, you got no excuse.
Yeah, it's like...
It's cool to be on drugs, but fucking, all right, get out of here.
It's like, even if you did something... I mean, I don't know how they got here, whatever they came here for, but it's like, just go back.
Go back. Yeah, well, you're living in the most expensive...
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't know their stories or
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, but food is more expensive.
Yeah.
One subway ride, go way out, just take the L till it stops, yeah, and then just keep walking.
Well, you can make money. You can make money begging.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's more people in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a prime location for that.
It's just people, it's like they don't, you know, they're going to beg here because they don't want to go back to Ohio and beg there. But it's like, you know, you could work for a living.
You could work for a living?
It's an option.
Yeah, I know. No, you want drugs, go earn the money for the drugs. That's what we all do.
Yeah.
We buy drugs.
I work
drug
for
addicts.
My pot.
Yeah. Yeah, don't just come to us. I get it, being addicted to shit. Metzger's been a fucking, he's had come down some like every drug in the book.
Yeah, he figured it out.
Yeah, he's a working writer.
I did all my drugs when I still lived at home with my dad, which was a smart choice.
Does your dad do it?
No. No, my dad worked, my dad just worked swing shifts, so he worked 3 to midnight.
Yeah.
So he just wasn't around during the week.
Oh, that's good. You were an absentee. Were you SoCal trash?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Very SoCal. I actually grew up in a rich neighborhood, but in a really white trash house. Like, we had 5 broken down cars in my backyard.
Really?
Yeah. 2 bugs. We had a motorhome in the backyard. Just like overgrown shit.
It's a new kind of trash that I've discovered, is SoCal trash.
Long Beach white trash is, yeah. It really is scummy. It's beach trash.
Beach trash,
we're just like beach garbage. It's so laid back. You don't really have responsibility.
Listen to Sublime too much.
So much Sublime.
Some 311.
Pennywise, local heroes, Pennywise.
Yeah, local heroes. Were they from there?
Oh, yeah.
The beach?
Yep. They're from Hermosa.
Oh.
It's very, okay. when you're in that, it's nice leaving that world because you, just to...
No, we don't need no one to tell us what to do. Is that them? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. My surf punk. Yeah.
It's like all I listen to. But yeah, so just growing up trashy in a rich neighborhood was weird.
Yeah.
Weird to say.
Did you ever hook up with comics in Hermosa?
Kind of.
Who? Those guys? Oh, those guys are more like there, like at the stand.
Not really. I had a weird thing with a comic where like I was drunk and we were going to hook up and my friend was there and I remember she actually said like, she's like, he's like molesting her. And the funny part is like that guy, she called another guy to come save it. We just ended up drunkenly hooking up. Yeah. Like it really was a mess either way. But the guy that got around where it was like, you said you molested him. He thought that I said that to the booker and that's why he wasn't getting booked anymore. But like really that I didn't say shit because I was like, if anybody finds out that this happened, I'm going to get fired. And I loved my job there. So it's like, I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize
it. Pretty friendly environment.
I loved it. We were all buddies.
Oh, like, maybe that's why I never hooked up with Jen Cole there.
Maybe.
Maybe I just didn't go to the after parties and stuff.
Maybe the staff was all fucking each other too. That was definitely one of those places. But the guys were more attractive.
The guys were hot there.
The guys were so hot. It was a bunch of guys that were, and a bunch of them were doing comedy now, like Taylor Boss, Chris Traven.
Oh, really?
My friend, they're all like 6'4", good looking.
Yeah, they're all tall and like.
And the girls were all like, we were all like, okay.
Yeah.
Like there weren't any like really stunning hot chicks there, which is weird because you know it's LA, you'd think, but
yeah,
so it's a bunch of okay chicks and you know
yeah,
good looking guys.
Yeah, that's weird. The stand, they're degenerates, whoever does the hiring there.
Oh my god, we're just like, we're like
more
short
more,
skirt,
like,
tits
oh.
out. come so we don't have a minimum, we have to use
what happened
tactics.
To that girl who looks like Khaleesi, what happened to her?
I don't know who Khaleesi is.
She's from Game of Thrones with the super light blonde hair.
Are you thinking Daenerys? You keep saying Khaleesi. I don't know who Khaleesi is.
She was.
Are you
the
thinking about the dragon mom?
Yeah,
that's Daenerys.
She's Khaleesi. That's what they called her, the queen.
Oh yeah, Daenerys is her name. I did live with Brian.
Oh yeah,
I know,
that's
I know
right.
My Game of
that's right. That's all Brian talked about. So
oh, yeah.
Who's the one that looked like her?
Victoria.
Yeah.
Oh my angel, Victoria. She went off to. She's a dancer, an off stripper. She's like a legit dancer. They're all young, so she was trying out for cheerleading teams.
What do you mean?
Like
professional sports?
Yeah, I think she went down
really?
To like, Miami to try out. So she's just concentrating on dancing.
Oh, that's cool. She was nice too.
Yeah.
Nick
nice. DiPaolo gets mad about the waitress. He's like, Jesus Christ, the waitress wanted to be so hot.
Anything that distracts
I'm like,
him.
Yeah.
From his suburban life. Have you hooked up with staffs?
At Comedy and Magic.
Comedy
yes.
and Magic, definitely.
And when I worked at a restaurant job, there's this guy that I thought was so hot. His name was Nick. And I was like, no, we're best friends. It's fine. We're best friends. And I just like would have like jumped on him at any point. But we just like hung out for 2 years. And then we ended up having sex.
Yeah.
And he actually like we only had sex like twice. But like to give you an idea of his personality, I was on top of him. And he was like, oh, you don't look that fat from this angle.
Oh,
So not I got the right rid of way him. To word He's that no longer way. In my life. But finally I was like, wow, I hate myself.
Yeah, I'd hang out with that.
But I don't know. He's good looking.
I've hung out with like a couple waitresses, but not really. I've really mostly never done that.
No, I've also been a manager for a long time now. And as a manager, worse. it changes the dynamic. It's like you want to stay away from that, I think. Yeah,
but you also hook it up
with a female manager. I've also, you know, I've been in a relationship for a little bit, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing, too. You became the manager after you already hooked up with Jay.
No. I've been a manager.
Stand-up, New York,
yeah,
right?
I've been a manager for a long... Because I opened the stand. I managed...
So managers can't do it? Even more, they can't do
no,
it?
No, when I was at comics, I made out with a bartender one time. Because I started managing when I was, like, 24. Yeah. So for the first year...
No responsibility?
Oh, my God. Like, I was like, I don't have to ask for smoke breaks, and I can drink Jameson whenever I want. And I'm the boss. Like, you know, you grow into it a little bit. I can always delegate, but you grow into the maturity of, like, running a team.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. There's that drama. We had a guy, Jim Painter. He hooked up with this girl, Adrian, who was really hot. She fucked everybody at me and David Taylor.
Everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who wanted it, she did.
Yeah.
But
there was
treated,
a girl like
Jason. Like
there was a girl
humans.
Like that up at the Strip where she, like, fucked everybody.
Oh, really?
And I've known some girls around. I've known some girls around where it's like I've had lineups where I'm like, they fucked everybody on this lineup.
Wow.
But,
that's all right, though, as long as there's no jealousy about it.
Yeah.
I guess.
I just, like, I know the way that you guys talk about us. And that's what
I don't think so. Katie Manzella in L.A., she's blows
it's
everybody.
It's always pig.
But nobody
it's
has a
like,
bad
she's
word
a
to
pig,
say about her.
She's a whore.
No,
she's
like,
this.
Oh, dude, she's a pig, bro. You gotta go after that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's in a positive.
It's like you love us for everything you hate us for type thing. It's that.
We're just never going to commit to that girl, but like.
Exactly.
She doesn't want commitment either. The girl who fucks an entire lineup is not looking for boyfriends very often. Am I wrong?
True. I feel like there's something to that. I feel like when you. I mean, I don't know. I'm older now.
Yeah.
But definitely when I was in my young 20s, I thought that like. Sleeping with a guy somehow made us closer as friends. I didn't fully. I hung out with a lot of guys, and because I was not a desirable chick, especially in LA. And when I moved out here, my confidence shot up, and I also started taking better care of myself. I quit smoking. I started working out. I started eating better, and all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't really look at myself as somebody who had like. Pussy to give,
right?
You know,
yeah,
so I didn't. I really didn't think that was a commodity.
A lot of girls see it like that. Like,
yeah,
I can give this out. I can, and some girls value and some girls don't.
Yeah, and it, you know, the thing that sucks too is that
some
with this big
bulk.
Slut movement that's going on, like I don't hear a lot of girls talking about all of how all their sex is great and they're really enjoying it and they figured out new
you
ways to come
girls.
And they're having a ton of fun. Like it's usually girls like they. You know, you keep touching the hot stove.
Right.
So it's like you drunkenly hook up with somebody, or maybe eventually you just kind of go vacant to it and it doesn't affect you anywhere. I understand that too. I understand. I've had a lot of sex in my life where it's like staring at the ceiling, waiting for it to be over. And it's almost like it's being something that's done to you as opposed to something you're an active participant.
Whoa,
in.
Really?
And not
why even do it then?
Not in like a by in no way am I talking about a rape sense or anything like
yeah.
that. I just mean like you know.
But
I
why even do it?
I liked the attention.
Yeah.
I definitely like the attention of
and also,
it.
No, not, it's not
I liked the I got overly and I think it's true as a comic dating somebody who you know. When he first started doing comedy, maybe he wasn't getting a lot of pussy. Now he's kind of understands that when he commands a room in the way he does, it's attractive to women and
who?
Girls want to fuck him. Jay, you, any comic mm-hmm. that like eventually gets to the point where they realize like, oh yeah, chicks want to fuck me.
Once in a while,
like,
yeah.
You understand that. Like I used to put way too much value on the fact that a guy wanted to fuck me. Like I thought that was, I put way too much value on that male attention instead of worrying about what am I going to do to make sure that I started having sex at 16. I think that's very young. And
seems like it, right?
It's and I also like I went through a thing with my the guy that I lost my virginity to. I lost my virginity right after my mom died, and he broke up with me like 3 weeks after we had sex for the first time, and it was a lot going on. So after that, for a couple of years, sex was like done to me. It wasn't until I was probably about 20,
yeah,
where I like was in a. I was even with a guy for two and a half years. Thing? I felt like I was trying to play the part of like acceptable female.
Yeah.
Like no, like I'm not like a dumb bitch. I'm not, you know, somebody that's been tossed around. Look at me. I'm a girlfriend and, you know, let's make dinner. And it very much felt like playing a part, and the sex was kind of just very vanilla.
Yeah, you just didn't want to do it really.
It was none fine.
You didn't want to do any of it, any part of it, even the boyfriend stuff you didn't want either.
It was just, yeah. Well, we were together. It was nice to have a boyfriend at that time. But when we broke up when I was 20, and me and Jay started dating about a year ago.
And how old were you then?
So 28. Oh, right, so around my 20th birthday. You didn't do anything
in between then?
No boyfriends.
Just randoms?
Mm-hmm.
Or guys you were friends with or something?
Friends. There are people that I had sexual relationships with for years. And guys I should have never had sex, but you just kind of...
Yeah,
when you're single and you're on that, you're like, oh, my number's not going up.
Not that big a deal after a while. You're like, all right, so it was terrible. Whatever. So I had sex with somebody terrible that I don't like.
Yeah. And that's, right. I actually didn't mind that. I started, when I moved out here, the anonymity, I had too many dangerous one-night stands.
Here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Dangerous, what do you mean?
And things where I would say just...
Two men enter, one man leave?
To just fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just totally fucked up and, like, probably shouldn't have been making a decision.
Oh, yeah, you got drunk.
I used to get really fucked up. I definitely had a... I don't know what it is. I don't know if I thought it was cool. And even still now, if I do drink, I'm like, fuck, I just have that, like, I want to keep going gene in me. And when I do drink, I get confident. So that's the thing where it's
fighty?
Like, yeah, I get belligerent. But I also, I'll get sexual... I'll get horny. So it's like you're this sloppy mess that's like, you want to fuck me? And they're like, yeah. And I've actually had guys where it's like, I've reached out to a guy that I had sex with. I'm like, hey, do you want to meet up? And just like got a text back. A guy that I didn't even enjoy sex with, but just got drunk and was like, well, let me try this guy.
Yeah.
Be like, do you want to meet up? And I get back, not really. I'm like, I might not be a good leg.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm bad in bed.
Well, I think a lot of it's chemistry. That's what I'm starting to learn now, where it's like, the person you were with wasn't bad, but it just didn't match well.
It just didn't match. Sometimes it just doesn't match.
It's like if you wear pink pants and a fucking bright red shirt, neither one of them are at fault.
Yeah, and that's why I say there are guys where it's like, maybe, you know, there might be somebody out there where they would say their best sex was with them. And it's like, you know, so I've never like really talked shit about the people. It's just a lot of the same thing. A lot of drunk, you know, a couple pumps not coming, and it's like awful.
Oh, it's also always drunk sex too. That's like the worst kind of sex.
I didn't have sober sex for a really long time, and you just get to a point where you're like, well, this sucks.
Yeah,
it does. It sucks. You're like, why? You're like, now I've let all these guys fuck me.
So how is it now? Now you're okay. How? Yeah.
Well, now.
You got a boyfriend for like 4 years.
No.
3 years.
No, like a year and a half.
No.
Yeah, me and Jay weren't sleeping together for a long time. We knew each other because he was managed by my bosses.
No. But from... Oh, the cringe guys. You were managed by the cringe guys? That's how you knew him?
Yeah, he was managed. But, well, we actually met years ago at Comics, and then we got to know each other a little bit, Stamp New York. And, like, I've always been attracted to Jay.
Right.
He looks like when my family, like my uncle David came and met him, and like my friends meet him, like they go, they're like, oh wow, this is really like, you guys are a good pair.
Yeah.
And he's somebody, you know, we mesh well. I don't get bored with him, and I'm proud to be attached to him.
Okay. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm asking. Because when I heard Chelsea Peretti used to date Norton,
mm-hmm.
I remember she was around the store for a little while, and then I heard that, or I read it somewhere, and then I was looking at her, and she was like, what? What are you looking at? And I was like, nothing. And she was like, what? I'm like, you used to date Norton, huh? And she was like, yeah. I was like, she's like, why? Did somebody tell you that? Like, no, I just read it somewhere. But I was just looking at her, I was like, just what filthy shit she must have been into.
Oh, yeah.
Not to have fucked Norton, That's like, okay, fine.
But to date Norton,
for Norton to come back over and over and over again and say, this is acceptable for me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what are you capable of, Peretti?
That's why when I started dating Jay, I was like, well, everybody knows I'm a little weird now.
Yeah. So like, what are you into now? Like, what do you, what do you go with?
Sleeping with Jay has been a lot of fun because at the end of the day, even with all that drunk, bad sex.
Yeah.
I think I'm like a sexual person. I've always been voyeuristic. I enjoy porn. I enjoyed, yeah. I always like, I say
do
that like.
Do you voyeur porn ever?
Do I do voyeur porn?
I mean, look at it where it's like. A camera will be coming around the bend, you know, like around a window.
No, but I should look it up.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Like remember we were sitting on my stoop and we saw somebody. Yes, we were like, and fucking. I, the reason why me and Jay were both like, I think we're both like little kids that were like boobies, like yeah. Bush. Like I'm just as much like, I want to see it. Like, and I don't know where that, I remember finding my dad's porn when I was a little kid. I liked reading the stories, like the stories turned me on. It's like when you're little.
Oh yeah, those stories.
You don't
really
even
hot.
Know that, you don't even really fully realize what being turned on is. But I also was one of those little kids that used to hump things. So
really?
I was like having sexual enjoyment before I knew what sexual enjoyment was. And that's also a thing with sex where I go, to me coming was such a personal thing that happened on my own time. It was like me time that I think then having sex was almost something different. And so it's been weird to like, not weird, but it's been cool to kind of like bring that together.
Bridge the gap.
Me and Jay have actually gotten fights. So I'm like, well, if you didn't care about me coming so much, like we'd be, because it came to a thing where I would almost get anxiety because he would want me to come, and that would almost give me an anxiety because it felt like pressure that
I
had sex before.
If somebody's blowing me too long, I start feeling bad for them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right.
It's definitely been, we've gotten to things, but I've also had like the most fun sex ever with Jay.
Yeah.
Like we really, it's dirty.
Yeah.
It's gross. I've done a lot of the like things for the first time, whether that's like
what?
Doing anal for enjoyment. Like I'd only had anal sex a couple times. Now
for
it's
commandment
just
before.
Well, now it's something. Yeah. Now it's something that's just like kind of on the table.
Some girls like that.
I love. It's great.
I heard a porn star talking about it. She said she lost. Maybe Phoenix Marie, one of those girls at the Brea Improv, and she was talking about they had a contest where the winner gets to make a porn with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so a fan gets to make a porn with...
How cool.
Very cool, right? And they were like, oh, cool, how was it? She goes, awful. He didn't last fucking for barely anything. He didn't even get to anal.
He didn't even get to anal.
Yeah, she was like really miffed about it. And then Belladonna said she'd rather do anal than vaginal. If she could only do one, she'd rather just do anal.
There's something about anal, it's so funny because joke relax, but the amount that you have to relax in order to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think there's something about what you're putting your body into.
Yeah.
Because if you're not relaxed, if you're not into it, if you're not used into it, it's very, very painful.
Yeah.
But if you can relax yourself into it, it becomes very enjoyable. And so that's the thing that I love about the sex that I'm currently having in my life. And also, like I said, I'm almost 30. I'm not like a girl in my young 20s trying. I'm not that I'm not still figuring stuff out. But you kind of know yourself a little bit more. And I'm now in a sexual relationship where pretty much everything's on the table.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool thing because I have never been a girl where my goals involved getting married and having children and settling down. I'm not a huge believer in monogamy as it relates to like our actual animalistic tendencies. I think that that's why a lot of relationships fail and all the lies come up.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because it's not... It's not a matter of for anybody to act like we don't enjoy variety. I think you're just kind of lying to yourself. But yeah, I do understand if you have a family structure to uphold, and you were just and you're raised very much in that straight and narrow, and that's your thought process. I get how
you know how Joe Mackey, what's his name, Morrill was telling me that he has this new fame off Last Comic Standing. Joe Mackey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know Joe Mackey, right?
Yeah, yeah. I love Joe.
Yeah. And he goes, he said their show at Caroline's is doing better because people come to see him. He's doing well on the road. And he goes, and girls are like throwing themselves at him. And he gets super nervous and fucking runs out.
Because Joe Mackey's never been a guy that's had pussy thrown at him before.
He's never had pussy.
Insane.
Yeah.
But now it's just like on the
Yeah,
on
and
the
so
table.
He goes like, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. And it's like the way we look at that is the way people like you, monogamous people, look at the people who go, oh, I couldn't deal with someone else having sex with someone else. like some of my girlfriend or boyfriend having sex with someone else, or like hooking up on the road or something like that.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I don't. That hasn't come up for us, and you know, like I trust. Jay. I do trust Jay.
Yeah,
I do, and if he's ever fucked somebody behind my back or has fucked somebody behind my back, I was like, I don't know about that, but I also think we're just because of the nature of our relationship. I don't find
what's the nature.
The only reason why that would be necessary would be if he enjoyed the conflict of cheating. If that was something where he actually enjoyed that, like keeping a secret thing, then that's where that would need to come out. But as far as like variety and fresh new pussy and all that, like,
why?
Well, we have threesomes, so that comes into play. But
how long have you been having threesomes? What do you mean we have threesomes? Not we've had a threesome.
We've had it. It's just something, like I said, something that's on the table. And never with another guy, only with other girls.
How come never with a guy? Are you like part lesbo?
I think so. We get in an argument because I'm actually dating a guy that like says that bisexuality doesn't exist. But I will identify as bisexual, but this is the first time I've ever talked about publicly. I don't like using sexuality or like being one of those girls like, I'm gonna make out with this chick because the guys are gonna think it's hot.
Oh yeah,
I just like fucking around with other chicks.
You know what Dr. Drew says about it? He said that it's, and he might have just said this, he heard a theory, but it came from his mouth anyway, that bisexuality is sexual immaturity, and that, and it might just be he saying like some people think this, but that it's like you just haven't made up your mind. So like bisexuality in college a lot was gay guys still wanting to hold on to the fact they're a little straight, or straight girls going, I'm crazy too, and then just, you know, but generally like grow up, choose one.
And I've had that thing where Jay's been like, if we get in an argument, he's like, well, then maybe you're just a fucking lesbian. And I've had guys throughout my life, I think that people have thought I was gay in my life.
Yeah,
I've been in
but there's that Kinsey scale where it's like 1 to 6.
But this is why I say, I go, when it comes to like the person I want to partner with, and first of all, like I actually do enjoy sex with men.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, you know, grossed out by that or anything. Like I enjoy that. And I also enjoy the balance of a male as far as a relationship and a partner goes. Like I imagine that homosexual relationships, especially for women.
And someone to hold you down. If a girl's holding you down, you can get up.
Yeah. 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 It's just, I don't know. Like I feel like it's been said behind my back that I'm a lesbian before, and I'm like, well, I mean, I'll.
It's okay. You're doing good.
I'm doing
just
good.
Got a little.
I feel like it said behind my back that I was lesbian. There's a guy there. There's a guy that works at the Comedy Magic Club, Thaddeus, and he was like, "Oh no, Christine's a lesbian. She just hasn't figured it out yet."
Oh wow.
And it was one of those things where I was like, "But I've already hooked up with a girl. Like I know I enjoy that, but I like boys too. And it's like boys give me." I don't really get jittery over girls. I do enjoy, the thing that I like about girls is that when you fuck a guy, you're always the guy's conquest.
Yeah.
No matter what. But there's something about pulling another girl where you're like, well, look at this hot chick that I, you know,
that
pulled
I also
in.
Hooked up.
Yeah.
With.
There's something like dominant about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, So that's something that came up. I mean, me and Jay, like Jay's still technically married.
Yeah.
And we started dating. We started dating when he was married. Like, he's still married. So it was like there was a lot of jealousy there and a lot of feeling like, am I somehow a shitty person for getting involved with this guy? Well, he still has a wife. Like, should I back myself out of this picture?
Yeah, they're way done by then, though.
But, yeah, I think that they've, you know, I don't know the inner workings of that relationship. I haven't been around it for a long time. But that
I do.
Jealousy.
I've slept with her a bunch of times.
Huh?
I've slept with her a bunch of times.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, they're both cool with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That jealousy was so intense that the idea of hooking up with other girls was like, what? I was like, I can't take on that jealousy as well. Because there's still, even though I go, oh, the sex is really fun, I really like it, there's absolutely.
How much jealousy? Okay.
Not during. I think I don't. This is a cool thing about, like, I don't come just from intercourse.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm actually, like, a very difficult person to get off. And I think it's sexy to watch him fuck a chick that comes from him fucking her. Like,
right.
To me, that's hot.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I, you know, and because of the voyeurism and all that, I think it's sexy to watch him fuck another girl. I think it's sexy to kind of team up.
And then you're involved in it still?
Huh?
But you're involved with it, so that makes it more okay?
Yeah, and I'm involved in it, and...
Have you ever...
But if he takes, like... I've had things where it's like another girl goes and hangs out with him at the cellar, and I'm like fucking like my stomach's in knots.
Oh, yeah. You get really jealous.
I get really jealous about.
Why? Like, I'm not there yet. Why is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, why is this girl with you?
Any girl.
Any girl.
Yeah. I think I'm like, I've why?
But it's also not. It's not any girl. It's any girl that I know that we've either fucked or he's expressed interest in fucking.
Or what about?
Because I'm like, there's going to be flirtation.
Yeah, he's a comic.
There's going to be flirtation. Yeah. There just is.
You can't help it.
I can't, you know.
And you can't not let a guy flirt back.
But I also, you can't not let a guy flirt back, but it's like that one-on-one thing. Or like we actually got in a thing one time because I showed up at karaoke when he was still doing that. And there was like another girl sitting up there and I was like, I'm uncomfortable with it. Like, I mean, it was a thing because I wasn't, Jay also will very much.
Why, like, that was your place? That was your throne?
Yeah. I was like, why is this girl up there? Go away.
You want to be bottom bitch.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? What's happening?
That's where I stand. I stand next to you there.
Yeah. I'm like, why is there some, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
So
what did he say to that?
He got pissed off about it. And because this is the thing is I think Jay has lived a lot of his life as a liar and a cheater. And I think he's not with me. He has. You know, it's like he's been this relationship for a long time. And I think there's been a lot of, you know, philandering involved. And so I think the accusation of anything,
and he just goes against
it. I think
it.
He, and I totally understand where he's coming from. Cause he's like, I'm not doing anything shitty to you. And you're treating me like I'm doing something shitty to you. Right. But in my head, I'm like, no, I think it's super shitty. This girl's sitting next to you. Right. I'm like, you can fuck her. She can come over and you can fuck her. But like, she just can't sit there.
Have you ever?
So it's a little neurotic. Like I understand that. Like, I also kind of understand that if I've decided this is a path I want to be on and this is the kind of sex life I want to have, then I have to learn how to kind of not be so reactionary to every bit of
what
jealousy
if it's like
that
Justy
comes up.
Dodge up there.
Justy's a friend, and it's like we've never been sexual with her. I think
so
that's fine.
If you saw, if you walked into the karaoke night,
I don't care.
How would that affect
Jen,
you? Wouldn't care.
I would not care.
Would you only if you think someone like this seems like
a girl effort. That yeah, I know? A Jen. Girl that I know for a fact, he's approached to have a threesome.
Who? So he approaches them, or you approach them?
He generally will say something and then
say one thing.
He'll, you know, he'll flirt and he'll bring it. I'm not sure exactly because I'm not there for it, but he'll mention it. And if they
mention
seem responsive,
what?
Like mention the idea of fucking me and him.
Oh, he brings it up.
Yeah.
You don't bring it up?
I have.
What do you say?
This is the thing. This is where that liquid courage comes in, is that like if I've had a couple drinks in me, I can actually just be dirty. And it's one of those things where what I found in trying to pick up chicks is you can just make it kind of giggly and jokey.
And let them
have an out. Like one girl that we picked up, or one girl that we actually like have had sex with a few times. I think my first thing bringing up to her was, I was like, oh, by the way, I was like, if you ever, it was like a joke. She made a joke about it. And I was like, oh, by the way, if you ever do really want to come over and Skype, you know, Jay's out of town all weekend. And then it just kind of like, once that seed's planted, then you just kind of like let that seed grow.
Yeah.
And so there have been girls, but then there's
without
also,
having actually asked them.
Without having
you
actually
put it in their head.
Yeah. It's rare that, you know, it's rare that it could come up in a situation where you're like, you want to come fuck, and it just like go you generally have to like work it a little bit. So that's where the jealousy comes in, is if you're trying to like make a girl comfortable with the idea of almost being this like guest star in your relationship.
Have
and
you ever
coming
had,
in.
Have you ever had a girl just want to have approach you for sex? Like a lesbian or bisexual, but like kind of like flirting with you and be like, hey, yeah, we can do this, but I got a boyfriend that wouldn't mind.
No. On Craigslist a couple times.
On Craigslist?
When I've done like woman for I hate Craigslist. It's really annoying. And it's like, this is the thing, is trying to find a single girl that's just willing to like fuck you and your guy together is very, very hard. And there's also, for me, it's like me being the woman in the relationship.
They're called a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But me being the woman in the relationship, it's like somehow I come out of this being, and I'm sure there are people that could hear this and be like, oh, she's delusional. She's just trying to hang on to somebody. She's blah, blah, blah. There's judgments of it. But for me, I'm like, oh no, I'm like in this relationship, like I'm the awesome chick that like bangs other chicks and like my boyfriend gets variety. But that girl can very easily be labeled a slut, a whore,
well, they
stupid,
always make these jokes,
dumb.
These standard jokes in sitcoms about it. It's like, oh, you sure are a lucky guy. But then it's like, yeah, he actually is.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? You're making jokes about it. But it's like, yeah, that's awesome that a girl brings home two girls to like hook up with. That's like way more spicier.
It's fun, and it's fun. It's nice to have that variety. Now, you know what
is
started happening?
Yeah.
I actually did start, because when I started.
That's why you guys are always up to stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're always saying. You're like, what are you guys up to? And I get very, when I think, because you asked Jay about me doing this before you asked me about me doing it. And there's almost something to it where I'm like, I'm a pretty open person, but it's like when we're around his friends almost, I'm like, I don't want them to think about me pissing. Like, I'm like, no, I'm like, these are my friends. Like, I'm like, Lewis can't know.
I don't even like asking a girl out or hitting on a girl in front of other people. Like if I'm in like a merch line or if I'm at a bar and my friends are around and I see, I want to get a girl's number, I'm like, not in front of people.
Not in front of people.
Even a number.
I've like literally, I've gotten so shelled off, or he'll even like just loose or bring something up and be like, oh, so-and-so coming over later. And I'm like, what are you talking
for,
about?
For what?
What are we doing? Sugar, no. Like, it's kind of that thing where it's
you're always up to something.
I show my hand.
It was that ride back from Long Island City from the creek in the cave.
Yeah.
You guys are all quiet. I'm like, what are you guys?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? Nothing? Jay, you try to play it off somehow?
Yeah. I'm a terrible liar.
Yeah,
so
you were like,
I can't.
Oh no. It was like 5 minutes later. You're like, oh no. Earlier, it was just because we were both texting about this other thing. And I was like, oh no.
Oh, that'll be
positive.
It too. Like, he'll say something. He'll be like, oh, so and so's coming back with us. I'm like, why? Is she texting you? How long have you guys been texting for?
Really?
And like, I catch myself in that, and I'm like, no, like
give him the leeway to be able to get this going.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not doing anything in the meantime.
He's not, and that's what it is, where it is very hard. He goes, funny thing you say, he's like, oh, now that we're a fuck team, I think that we're a fun to be around couple, and I think that we both, I don't think that there's anything in that where a girl feels like I'm being thrown under the bus or I don't want to do it. So it's like being able to flirt with a girl with him.
Yeah.
I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
And I think...
So you hit it from both angles after a while.
Yeah. It's generally... I find that it generally works the best.
I saw you this morning. You were with her.
We have. But last night, everybody just kind of got drunk and just went to sleep, actually. It was a wasted night.
And the other one?
No, she was just hanging. We didn't... That wasn't like one big orgy. That was just like everybody had a little too much to drink and crashed at our house.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw you all. I was like,
I know. I was like, I'm creating content for the podcast.
Yeah. I was like, wow. The other one's cute too.
Yeah, they're both cute. Well, one of them's that's the thing, is that that's something that's fine. I've had sex with so many like guys that I would deem to be just like not attractive.
Yeah.
We've done pretty good with the girls. Really good with the girls. There was and that makes me, because the thing is, like I said, I'm starting to see myself more. This is, it's like I've been called fat in a dress. I usually dress very like jeans and a tank top, and I'm just now kind of starting to like be more feminine and want to like be an attractive person. I'm learning how to take a compliment and all that, where I go, oh, I'm like, there's still something about it where it's like you're dealing with that rejection in these hot girls where you're like, well, they're not going to think I'm hot.
The girls.
Yeah. And so there is something to that where it's like now you're feeling rejection from other women if it doesn't happen. But generally, I think everybody that we've approached about it, if they've said no, I don't think it was because they thought it was gross.
Right. No. That's just a weird thing. Like I told you about that girl. Was that on this podcast or not? The girl who were like, I was talking to my friend about it. I had a girl who we were hooking up, and she was like, hey, could you get one of your friends? Like, I've been wanting to get, like, double teams. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask. It wasn't even, like, we didn't care about each other. It was just sex, but it was still, like, nah.
That's something where it's, like, Jay's actually brought that, I think, when he fucked. Because the first time we did it, like, he didn't actually fuck the girl.
Yeah, what if he wants to watch you get fucked?
That's something that's been brought up, and I've kind of, like, I think some of that might be just the idea that would be used against me in a fight. I think if I get past that, I think if I can get past like the idea
with
that
guy,
thinking
about him.
But that's why I said, I go, I'm not saying this is never going to happen. I'm saying I don't want to do it yet.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that's something.
Would you ever wait in the closet and just let Jay bring a girl home and bone?
I don't know. That's something where I'm like,
oh, I'd like that.
There was something to like, it would be, I would see like my demon mind goes to like, oh, I want like a girl that like we're both fucking who like doesn't like, I want to see what she does if he pursues her when I'm not there.
Right. Right.
You know, like that's something where I'm like, if she thinks, if he's like, we can't tell Christine
that
this happens.
Group. Oh
yeah.
Oh, like, when she knows it's wrong.
Yeah. So like I would like him pursuing her, but like him being like, we can't tell Christine, and then seeing if she like goes for it, or because I have no trust in women. I think we're all scumbags.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
I really I think we're really shitty manipulative. And a lot of this is like the amount of guys I've had sex with that have had relationships and had this, and it's
so
like,
many girls will, girls will hook up with their best friend's
their
boyfriend.
Best friend's boyfriend. It's like I had a thing where I had a friend that was dating someone. It was like he never tried anything with me.
Not
but
even
if
ex boyfriend.
Oh yeah. So I think we're all scumbags. So I think girls will,
hey,
very trustworthy.
Yeah. Christine's out of town this week, but maybe we could do it anywhere. And just
we do it anyway.
Mm. And you just hide.
Yeah.
But then you ruin that relationship.
Ruin it. Then I'm like, oh, well, now we can't fight. Because I wonder, you know, it's like you wonder, you go,
well,
would this girl be like, I don't want to fuck up.
It's one less check and balance.
Because I think people are attracted to the fact that we do seem like a stable and love couple. And so I think when that's taken away, that might cause something where they're like, oh, well, now this is. And that was something with the girl that I yelled at karaoke. The thing that I was so embarrassed about and why the relationship's never been fully repaired is I felt highly embarrassed that I let somebody outside of our relationship
get you
see
worked
that.
Up. Oh, see it.
Let him see it. If I had just gone to Jay privately and been like, I don't know, Jay, like I'm trying to deal with my jealousies and I want to. It knots my stomach when I think about it, and I just want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
But to let somebody outside of our relationship see, it was highly, highly embarrassing. I was very embarrassed by the situation.
I get it. So now you haven't been able to be cool again.
It's been hard because I'm just like, ah.
Got that. Everything plays.
She's a great chick.
Everything plays.
She really is. She's a great chick. I just like, I'm like, like I feel stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel stupid in front of you, and that sucks.
Do you talk girls into doing it and it's their first time ever doing that? Or have they all already done it before?
I don't think so. I think most of them have done it before. It hasn't been that many girls. I think maybe, no, nobody ever that's been their first time.
First threesome.
No. And I don't think, I don't even think like first lesbian shit. I was surprisingly inexperienced with, as much as I like.
Do you think New York is full of like experienced people?
Yeah, I think I think everybody's kind of doing weird shit.
I have not gotten my fucking share of this town yet.
No.
No.
Yeah, it's. I mean, maybe I just like this. Is the thing about girls, like I, even though I had that curiosity and like wanting to hook up with a chick, like I'm like, how do you just fucking like hit on a chick? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. But like, you have done that, though.
I've done it in the first time I hooked up with a girl, it was a friend, and we got a little goofy, and it was a lot of fun, and it was like my boyfriend at the time was in the other room. He tried to join in, and she kicked him off, and then he left, and I was like, we're just going to talk, and he came in, I'm like going down on her. Yeah. So he was like, the relationship's pretty over.
Talk with your mouth, not with your mouth. Yeah.
And then I just like made out with a girl from theater class one time. And then other than that, I hadn't hooked up with chicks at all. Everybody thought I was fucking my
old. I never
older.
Got a lesbian vibe off you.
Good. I'm like, me and my friend Chelsea were very, very, very close, almost to the point like we were in a relationship, but we weren't sexual at all. But I think a lot of people thought we were sexual.
Oh, right.
Or thought that I was like in love with her or like whatever, wherever that thought process went. But I lived with a lesbian couple, and I would hear them bang all the time, and they just made the best noises. Like, it really would be like...
Hey, do you ever, like, when Jay goes to the bathroom and stuff, do you ever keep going, or do you ever get started before he's there, or keep going after he's got to do a spot or something?
What do you mean?
With just the girl.
Yeah, there's been times where, like, a girl's come over, and, like, he's come home to that.
And you ever into that? Are you into that part?
Not as much.
Not as much.
Not as much. And that's where I go, oh, like, that's another thing where I'm like, I don't think I'm a lesbian, because there's something about the turning him on.
You sure that's not just societal, and it's you thinking like, well, there's a guy here, so now it's not gay. And without the guy, it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
No, because I had, like I said, my friend that I hooked up with a long time ago, like when we were, I thought it was so fun, like because it's just goofy chick shit. So it's like there's that playful element to it where it's like we're rolling around, we're making out, we're grabbing boobs. And it's like, it's that fun dynamic. But I do think there's something to like it turning him on that I also get off on.
Oh, yeah. So what do you do? Just lie on the side and watch? Or do you like play with his balls or something? Like, what do you do?
All of it. It's like, that's the thing. It's
you
like,
just do whatever you want to do.
You just do whatever you want to do. And that's the thing. So it's like, if, you know, he might be going down on her while I'm fucking him, or, you know, I might be going down on her while she's fucking him, or like we might both be blowing him, or all those things.
Wow, that's a fucking top notch.
He had a moment where it was like, it was something where it was like his cum shot was like a dream come true, but he wasn't fully prepared for it. So he was like, oh, I can't believe it. He's like, oh, I wish I'd enjoyed that more. I didn't know that was coming. So that, and that's the thing too with the other girl is it's like you, there's definitely better chemistry with some than others.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, there might be somebody where it's like, we, you know, we have a rhythm, we fuck well together. And then it's like, we had sex with this like really young Asian chick and it was just like a fucking, it was so boring. Drama. It was just boring.
Yeah. Sometimes.
And that's what kind of sucks is like, you're all anticipating this like fun. I'm like, this was, just, I'm like, we would have just like fucked better on our own.
Do you guys do it on your own still?
Other people?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not all the time.
How long has it been going on?
Six months.
You're the unicorn whisperer.
I'm the unicorn whisperer.
They have dog whisperers. Yeah. You're the unicorn whisperer.
And
so, wow. And does Jay like watching, like, just sitting back and kind of watching you guys for a while? Yeah. He likes that too.
Yeah.
Does Jay ever.
But Jay's funny because it's like, I've literally had a chick, like, where you're like, Jay, take a cue. Where what? I've like had a chick where it's like he's laying back and I'm laying back and I have a chick that I'm like starting to fuck around with and he's like, I just got finished Bad Girls Club. I'm like, turn the TV off. No. I'm like, we both want to fuck you. Change the we can watch this later.
Jay never knows shit. He's always like, let's keep having a good time playing video games and such.
Yeah. And he also
you should have Jay.
Jay's very aggressive once it's happening, but he's not aggressive in the lead up. Like you know, you have to like. You have to really put it out there that's going to happen.
When he tells that story about the girl with no shirt on under the covers next to him.
Oh,
with,
hilarious.
Yeah, naked in under the covers next to him. And he's like, well, I still didn't know.
No.
I'm like, what? He goes, well, she was under covers.
He's very sensitive to rejection.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what Bobby Lee said. He said, well, he took Tinder for him to be able to find a girlfriend because he was so afraid of rejection that he couldn't ever go for it. But Tinder took that away. Where he goes, oh, we're already in.
Yeah.
Without any chance of rejection. Now that we're in, she's interested, then it's like, oh, okay, great.
I never used any of those sites.
Oh, yeah, you were already.
Never, and I thought about it. It's weird because it's like when you're trying to find. And that's what it really comes down to with the jealousy stuff is because at the end of the day, when you're fucking other girls as a couple, it generally works out better when you meet in real life and you develop some sort of connection as opposed to like pulling somebody off the internet.
Right.
And so that's something.
You've had that too?
In life?
Well, yeah, or with threesome with just a girl you meet on the line.
Just one. We've put it out there a couple times, but it's like, I don't know.
What about a fan? What would that do?
Fan be fine. I mean, that's where it comes. Yeah, it's like fans and young girl comics. I really, especially
young
because
girl comics. What, you don't want that?
No, because I work in this business.
Yeah, it gets too intermingled.
You know. And it's like if it was just him that worked in this business, that'd be one thing. But it's like I work in this business, and then also I'm like. I don't want them just around whenever. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
And if it's a young girl comic, what am I going to say? Don't go to that club. I'm like, now there's some young girl comic hanging out at the Cellar with him every night. Go fuck yourself. Like, get out of here.
And it's like, well, no, but I got my friend was going down and said, let's go to the Cellar to hang out. It's going to get weird. It's going to get weird.
Go away.
Or not even the Cellar, but if it's like one of the other clubs that he goes to.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, Cellar, you really have to get in for that.
Yeah.
But the other club's like, there's a way, like, you can get into the stand here or there without being, like, you know, an upper-level comic.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You can't, you know, like, they're working
or
spots.
Like, or if some girl, like, thought that she was going to take him out on the, like, Adrian Appalucci's gone on the road with him, and Adrian comes up to me, and she's like, I'm the fuck your boyfriend. It's a joke, you
and
know?
And you're like, I am not worried about you, Adrian.
I love Adrian. I was like, oh, yeah? So it's like, I'm not... my jealousy doesn't exist there, but like some young girl with like dreamy eyes about Jay Oakerson. Yeah. I'm like, get out of here.
Well, what about somebody online? It was like, I'm going to be visiting New York and I want to hook up with you. You're like, well, I got a girlfriend.
That would, he's had girls online and I don't mind that. I'm like, if it's easier, just, this is the thing.
And she's already pre-willing to like, here's a picture of my girlfriend. Are you into this?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's fine. Let's do it.
And we've had things where it's like that, that's kind of come up. And then when it actually feels like it's going to happen, they'll back out of it.
Oh.
But if he gets pussy offers online or whatever, he generally throws it over to me. He's like, yeah, because this is the thing about the threesomes thing is like, I'm not thinking with a dick.
Right.
He's still thinking with a dick. Yeah. So it's like, I can't fault him for wanting to fuck every offer.
Right.
But it's like, I will. And there have been some things where it's like, he's like, well, we just shouldn't do this anymore at all. And so
why?
Whenever
why?
There's,
wait, why?
Whenever there's negativity expressed,
he's like, I don't
he doesn't
deal
like,
with
if
person.
I'm like, I don't want it. He's like, you know what? He'll just be like, forget it. Forget the whole thing. And I'm like, I don't want to forget the whole thing. I just don't want to do it with this person.
Do you get testy like that a lot?
No, just like if we, this is the thing too with Jay is like, I'll have a habit instead of being direct, I'll try to dance around it or I'll shut down on something. So then I get all weird and closed off.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, oh no, I don't want it. Or I'll say like, oh yeah, no, that's fine. And then I'm like, no, I'm not fine with it at all.
Say it later.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me too, like, I had this open relationship for a while. So it wasn't like threesomes, it was just open.
Mm-hmm.
But she always wanted to like watch me do it with somebody. Not a threesome, just watch me do it. If I was Jay, I'd want you to do it with a girl and just have and just at very least that and then just watch that.
Yeah, and that, you know, that happens
to me. But like watch from the closet where the girl doesn't
watch from
know.
The closet. Watch yeah, from just with binoculars yeah. outside.
Hear this noise like, oh yeah. He wouldn't be able to
He's
be quiet.
He's Justin Silver all of a sudden.
He wouldn't be able to stay quiet. He'd be like, oh yeah. I'm trying to do a Jay voice.
A Jay.
I don't do impressions at all.
But I think, and that's the thing too, where it's like, when I say I don't feel, there have been girls too, where it's like, maybe they're not as fully, for me, everything's on the table.
Yeah.
But for some girls, it's like, everything might not be on the table.
But there's some girls are like, no anal, we're not doing that.
No anal, or even like, some girls like, I'll go down them, but they won't go down me.
Right.
You know, that type of thing, which I, you know, I
had a girl say, first date, first time we hooked up anyway. And she goes, don't go down on me because I'm not going down on you. So don't even try if you're like, it was like, ugh, don't leave
you're
the
like
fucking
sexy.
Rules. Yeah.
Mm.
And later she started doing it. So, and then after that, she was like, yeah, do it for me too. But it was like, don't say what you're not doing.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to hear that.
I don't mind. I'm such a difficult cum yeah. where it's like, I actually don't mind. I'm like, that's not the fun
still
of this
feels
for
good
me.
For a little bit though, right?
It still feels good. And it still, there's a sexiness to it. But like if a girl was ever aggressively like, I'm going to make, like if her thing was like, she really wanted to get me off, I'd be like, ah.
Yeah. I don't get like if a girl's
but
like,
I think it's cool to get
a guy
a girl off.
Oh, right.
I think that is, I do. There's
but whenever a girl says like, well, I never get off through sex or whatever. All these guys are like, well, you just never had sex with me before. I'll be like, all right, well, then you're probably not going to get off.
Yeah,
what am I
going to
be?
Then.
I don't know how many times you've had sex. More than five times?
Yeah.
What am I going to assume? I don't know them.
Yeah, I feel like that was something very weird because there's almost something to it when you just something doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
And it's not like your personal experience.
That's when it's goal-based instead of experience-based.
It's what?
When you put your onus on like goals instead of just experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't get to that goal, you've lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's like if you're on a marathon, well, that's a bad example.
If you're a marathon, you don't finish, you're a loser.
Well, it's almost like if you don't come in under 5 hours or 4.5 hours, you're a loser. But it's like, you still did the whole marathon. And the part when you were running the whole time, that was still fun while you were doing it.
Yeah.
Like, don't lose the experience. Just because you went 26.1 miles doesn't mean you didn't do any running.
Yeah.
You know?
And there,
boom, there it is. There it is.
There's something to it where it's just a. I lost my
train of thought.
Say. Yeah, fuck.
Fuck.
Too much pot.
Wait, a girl.
Girl getting me off.
Oh, yeah, going down on a girl, getting a girl when she says, I can't come from guys. You're a hard cum, so you don't. Anywhere close? No.
Well, I'm a hard. I just think it would be.
Stone forever.
To me, the sexiness, it's like, even though I do enjoy, I think it's fun to get a girl off. And I think everybody, I think getting your partner off is a very validating part of sex.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that you should be concerned. And that's, you know, like I said, even though I don't come.
It feels good when you get to
sex.
Like go up after going down on a girl and just know, see her shaking and stuff. And then just be like, cool.
Yeah. You know, you're like, oh wow. Like
I did
so
that.
It's like, I will get very shut down. That was, oh, that's what it was.
Boom.
So the first time I saw a girl come just from sex, just from fucking like, bouncing around on dick, I was like, fuck, that looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
I was like, for me, coming is such a fucking, it's such, Amy Schumer is a joke about it that I just love. She's like, everything needs to be perfect and in the right place and like, don't touch my left leg and my yeah. legs. And it's such a fucking ordeal where I'm like, what is this? I'm like, why can't I just fuck it? Why can't a guy just like fuck me into my orgasm? Like, and there's something almost like sad about that,
yeah.
about seeing that with somebody else where you're like,
but most girls
wow,
can't.
You're like, sex is just so much fun for you. And it's not that sex isn't fun for me, but it's like, I also like seeing that.
I think only, I heard only one
and I like that Jay doesn't need to go. I think that eventually, I don't think I'm just never going to come from sex. I think it's something that maybe you discover with yourself. What, but it's like to see that happen. There's something to that where I'm like, I was like, oh, he's probably likes fucking her more than me.
It is nice when a girl does. I heard like that first girlfriend, that manager said she did it like that just through sex. She had more than through clitoral. But she said it was like one out of like 12 girls like that.
Yeah.
And the and other 11 just, are more clitoral.
It's more clitoral, whatever it may be by clitoral. Me. Like, I have to like it. But that looks really cool. It really was. And it is a very sexy thing to watch.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the enjoyment I see in him having that again. Because I think most girls that he's fucked have just like come from sex. I don't
sure
think
it's fun
that,
when they do. It's like, wow. Yeah.
I bet. But that's like where I go, I'm like, ah, fuck, my boyfriend likes fucking this fucking come, like, chick more than he likes fucking me.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not like more. It's just like, in this way, yes, more right now.
In that, this thing and, better. You know, I'm not saying like, you know, like I said, we have a good sexual connection.
And you don't think he's going to leave you for these girls? That thought doesn't come up much.
No, but I think that's usually the jealousy, where jealousy comes because from. The jealousy isn't in the fucking. The fucking's hot. But yeah, there's definitely, I think that's where it all stems from. You're like, do you like this person more than me? And is she going to be a better partner to you in your life? And do you want to leave me? Because our relationship isn't perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and we do.
You guys fight more than most people.
Yeah, we fight.
Yeah.
We definitely have our share of fights. And, you know, some of that too is, he's 8 years older than me.
Oh, really?
He's a father. He has responsibilities in his life.
Father?
He's been a grown up for a long time. Like, I'm motherless. I'm childless. I'm fucking just like
this. You don't
like
have a
mom? No, she died a long time ago. So it's like, I'm just kind of like,
when did she die? Like, how old were you?
15.
Okay.
So I'm just like this weird, like selfish creature. Like I've never been in a relationship like in my adult life before him. So there are certain things where he's like, you're just thoughtless. Like you have, and I'm like,
I
don't know any other way. And he calls me when we do fight, he's like, you should be with Luis Gomez. He's like, that's who you should. He's like, you guys are the same kind of idiot. You know,
oh, he has no dad.
Yeah. Lou, you know, we'll get in like stupid fights. So some of that is like me just getting older and kind of being, and also
fighting it.
And also Jay is, even though
comics are hard to be with.
Huh?
Comics are also hard to be with.
Comics are hard to be with. And he's also an intimidating, he picks people apart for a living.
Oh, right.
He reads people
for
a living.
He does crowd work.
He's very quick-witted crowd work, and he will let you talk yourself into a circle and talk yourself into a hole and just watch it happen. And so fighting with him and arguing with him, it's gotten worse just because he has that. It's almost like learning how to be an adult argument with him and not just going like, and also in some of that, not cowering to him all the time. It's like sometimes standing up for myself, being like, no,
yeah,
I don't think you're right. I'm not just going to say you're right and go away. Like, you're wrong. But, you know, he's right most of the time. So what can I do? It's like, well, I'm trying to defend a stupid point.
It's like I was being emotional, not thinking, and you were just being normal and demeaning me afterwards. And,
yeah, I'll like emotionally react to something that just like there's no need for it.
Do you ever get girls that you see girls that are sometimes more into you or more into him, or are they kind of down the line?
I've had a girl say, I actually picked up this fucking 10 on a cruise.
On a cruise?
I mean, she was...
Rocktoberfest? No.
Motorboat.
Motorboat? Wait.
Motorboat. And I mean, she was a... She wasn't a motorhead chick. She was like there with the DJ.
Oh, motorboat, yeah.
And
she was there with a DJ?
She needed aspirin, so like she came back to the cabin. And it was like we were hanging out all night, but it's like for me, this chick, I'm like, this chick's out of my league.
Right.
And I did think that. I'm like, she's a hottie. She's like a one of those promoter models.
Yeah.
And like all of her pictures are like her in like strappy leg things, and her ass is hanging out, and her ass is phenomenal, and her tits are phenomenal, and she's just a hot young chick.
Yeah.
And we got hammered while he was doing the podcast, and like I said, I got aggressive and I just said something aggressive to her, and she was like way on board. But she actually said, she's like, but I don't want to do anything with him, only you.
Oh, really?
And my thought behind that is like, once you're in the moment, that will change.
Boom, smart.
So that's where I, and it's kind of like, you know, there's something a little rapey happened. About that. We went and fucked around the deck, and Jay threw up, and he vomited, and he totally blew the whole thing.
Oh, Jay.
He was so mad.
Seasickness or booze?
It was booze.
Oh, he did it himself.
So many fireball shots, and it was
fireball shots.
We were like children. We had done so many shots, and by the way, neither of us thought this would happen. It was just one of those things, and we were actually looking at girls on the cruise, like, oh, maybe we can get that girl, or like maybe that girl would do something. But this chick, it was like, didn't think that was going to happen.
Coup de grace.
And, it was all fun. It was hot. And she was way on board. And like his co-host was like, oh yeah, we saw them like running off. Cause we're just like, hee, 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 we're leaving. Really? And, but yeah, he just totally like woofed it.
Is it possible? Okay. You ever get a zit on the inside of your ear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it pops and like you get that pussy, that white. Not being white, see-through pus. You can be like, oh, it's like clear.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, it popped. Okay, so I had that.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's sort of getting worse. I thought it would go away after it popped. And it's getting worse.
Did you put hydrogen peroxide on it?
And I just put alcohol on it last night. Hydrogen peroxide is what I need?
Yeah,
put peroxide. I thought alcohol.
I always use peroxide.
Bartnick said alcohol. But anyway, but now I have a pain in like the bottom of my jaw. And I also have a pain in my brain a little bit. Is it possible that when I went snorkeling in Hawaii, that I got some sort of organism that's been burrowing its way in there?
Yeah,
the pus is
totally
going into my brain.
Yep, it's like a neti pot amoeba. You're probably dying. I don't know, but that is scary.
Can I go straight to, okay, I don't have
I've
insurance.
Had you might be getting, if it was like something that popped in there.
Yeah,
I've had
could be getting infected too.
Yeah, when I went to used to go camping up by Mount Shasta in California and Trinity Lake.
Yeah,
and one year I was over my 21st birthday. I mean, I got the most painful ear infection of my life. I ended up having to go and get hooked up to IV. So
what
if your ear is hurting you? I would just go, there's the New York Ear and Eye Infirmary like right on 14th, and I've gone there to get, you should just go.
New York Ear and Eye Infirmary.
Yeah, it was like $130.
That's still cheaper than fucking insurance.
Yeah, just go.
That's still cheaper.
I go there
than
and
insurance.
I go to the Ryan Clinton Center. And
insurance, you got to pay $25 to get a referral to go to that place, to pay another $25, and you got a deductible.
Yeah, I walked in there because I couldn't hear. Because I
couldn't hear?
I compulsively.
New York Ear and Eye Infirmary?
Yeah, it's on 14th and 2nd, I think.
Oh, that's a great recommendation, what you just did.
Yeah. I'm like a New York City concierge for all your needs.
So you're motherly?
Yeah. I had to be.
Yeah.
I had to learn.
You are motherly. They're dating a comic. You have to be somewhat motherly. Yeah.
I have to mother myself and all the people around me.
Yeah. I did pull one long hair out of there last night. I went in with tweezers and I just started like trying to pull and
my ears always feel like there's something in there that I need to get out, but there's nothing there. They just itch all the time because I scratch them compulsively. So it's like thing where it's like if I stopped scratching them, they'd stop itching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Exactly. It's but you have to like commit to not scratching
for
a while.
Yeah, I have like every fidget. I'm trying to break all my fidgets. It's not going well.
Do you see, how long do you see yourself being able to go in a threesome relationship? Like, can you see yourself as a 55-year-old woman doing this?
Yes, but you get weird because I go, I'm already getting to that point where I'm going to be 30 next year. And I am, like I said, I'm taking better care of myself and I probably look better now than I ever have in my life. But I'm never going to be like a young, hot chick ever.
Right.
Like I'm never going to be hot and 22 years old and like full. So it's like it gets to a thing. And that's why I told him too. I go, just remember, like when I joke about him, I go, all those young, hot girls are just going to get old. You know, like they will get old and they'll probably have shitty personalities as they get older because like their value's so wrapped up in their looks. And I was like, but you know, they'll be younger. But I go, when I'm a 55-year-old girl, is a 25-year-old girl going to want to fuck me? And that's something where you go, you know, you almost think,
if you're a Gloria Steinem,
you almost think that you have to take on almost this weird, hey, little girl, let me show you how to be a woman approach to it. So it's I think that it can go
on. Yeah, I bet
on.
You could be older, like
or maybe by that
girl.
Point, I'll be getting railed by fucking two black guys while he watches. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's like,
right. But why worry about it?
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah, all these people like, I don't want to be like an old parent. I don't want to be this. Like, why are you living your youth wasting that for this, what you're going to be when you're older? Like, see what happens. Maybe you'll get hit by a bus at 32.
Yeah.
And you'll have wasted that time.
I hope that in my age, I just keep my, I want to finish getting myself together. And then I want to spend the rest of my life keeping myself together. I don't want to fluctuate with my weight anymore. I don't want to have problems. No, I don't want to have kids.
Yeah. They're pretty gross.
And look, I, you know, things say that change. Now.
Right. Things could change, but who knows?
Things can
right
change. Now, who knows? You know, when you're 40 and you're like, oh, I have nothing to show for my, I'm like, I don't, but I also, I've created community around me and I love the community that I'm a part of. I love the comedy world and I feel like I'm always going to be like in this family of whatever it is. So I feel like I've built stuff around me where it's like, I don't necessarily think that I need to have my own like nuclear family to feel like I'm a part of something.
Right.
Like I have my relationship. I have my friends. I love my, I'm excited to watch Lewis's kid grow up. You know, I'm
always
around.
I saw you and a couple other people at Lewis's, not Lewis's party, the July 4th party with that great fireworks display that we saw off the reflection building.
So annoying. Stupid Wayne.
Fucking Wayne. But I saw you guys all hanging out with Lewis's kid, that first one. And it was, I was like, oh, so cute. And then be like, you're not worried that she's going to want to get, he's like, no, she just doesn't want it. And then I'm like, oh, you can appreciate other people's kids when they're being cute.
I love them. And the thing is like, I love kids and I have no problem. Like Jay is a 12-year-old that I'm just developing a relationship with now. I'm excited. Like, I'm excited to be a part of her life and, you know, be able to be some sort of confidant to her and confidant to her.
I was going to think of correcting you or not, or just letting it go.
Uh-huh. No. I fumble my words so much.
I fumbled and first roast battle joke so bad.
You fumbled it so bad. I was like, oh, Jay's got this. I was like, what are you talking about? Wife, girlfriend. What are you trying to say, Ari? What's your insult?
Because I go back and forth and calling people their wives and girlfriends.
Jay is both.
I call you his wife now. I call different people, like, whatever. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I told Ren Azizi, I'm like, because your girlfriend, we were going to do. He's like, no, Ari, we've been married for 7 years. I'm like, oh, well, whatever. It's no difference.
It's no different. But I am. And I do love that. I think that I definitely have maternal instincts and I will, you know, it's like you can leave your kid with me. I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, I have that in me. But I just don't see that being something I want to. I don't see me wanting to be a mother.
Can I ask you a serious question? When you saw me defeat Big Jay at the roast battle, did a part of you think that I should be with Ari instead of Jay? Because he is the more dominant.
You know, I'm really not comfortable talking about that.
Do you remember when I got you with Aaron Burr?
That was great. Oh my god! But this is a shitty thing. I was like, oh, Aaron wants to fuck me.
Yeah, you gotta feel a little good about it.
I was like, oh, Aaron wants to fuck me, and then I found out that Aaron did not want to fuck me, and I was like, well, this is fucking bullshit.
You're like, I wasn't gonna do it.
You'd already left Aaron's phone because I started texting Jay, and I wrote this whole long thing to you where I was like. I was like, do you promise you won't tell Jay? I guess I have a thing for Jews. Ha ha ha. And I said, but you'd already left Aaron's phone at that point. But I love you just did it and left it. I was like, oh my God. You were going in too. You were like, what do you say? You were like, he's married. I can give you what you want, what you deserve.
I was trying to think like him. Like if he really was that into you.
I was like,
you're like, I've already got a boyfriend. I don't know if you know this, but I'm with Jay. So I'm like, yeah, that guy's.
Because that was a time we were very, I mean, it was a thing when it came out that we were dating. It
really?
Definitely was like a, there were people that didn't know, people that, I mean.
I probably knew before anybody.
You knew, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like I said, you know, you're like, especially with a.
He probably shared it with me or something.
Yeah. And, you know, with a, you also know when I was a chick going, you're like. Is he being honest with me about the nature of his relationship with his ex, you know? But I don't know why. I there's not a lot of reason to trust him in that sense, knowing his history.
He's been a big cheater.
For some reason, I just trust him. And I do, and I definitely have a...
Would you be upset if he hooked up with somebody on the road? Some girl whose last name you didn't even know?
I'd be really upset if I found out about it.
He would.
If he, now this is something we've talked about.
Now, let me ask you a question. Hold on.
I'm like, I don't know, man. If some girl, and this is the thing too, is that I do think that Jay's career is going in a really good direction. And I think it's only going to get worse as far as like the girls that want to throw pussy at him. So there's something to it where I'm like, I really don't think he's going to leave me for any of these twats, but it's like, I don't know. And then you go, I don't, if some girl's begging to suck your dick in the green room, like, I'm like, can you...
Yeah, if some girl's
there could
like,
be something to it where I'm like, I don't quick, know,
my
film it.
My boyfriend's in the bathroom. I just want to blow you and leave. Is that
and
cool?
There's going
like,
to
that's
be,
not the same level than some girl hanging out in the karaoke place.
Yes.
That's like way better for you
it's
than
way
the karaoke
better.
Thing.
It's way better than the karaoke. I'd rather some I'd rather someone blow him than someone like
So there's levels.
It's like, I'd rather somebody blow him than someone else be by his side when I'm not there.
I had a conservative girlfriend tell me that she didn't think that getting a massage parlor hand job was cheating. And she was real Christian and stuff. I was like, really? But I get it now because it's really like, there's no emotion there. There's some old Asian lady. There's zero thing. You're never going to leave me for that.
The biggest thing with it is like, I think that is, I think guys would be more, I think if I fuck somebody while Jay was on the road, he'd definitely be more worked up about the actual idea of another guy fucking me than I would be. I'd be more upset about the lie than the actual sex. Now, I don't know if that's true. Jay, unfortunately, like I'm a liar. Like I'm a liar and I'm a cheater and I'm all those negative things.
Oh, really?
So it's like me and Jay have had things where, not really like a cheater. I haven't really put myself in a relationship to cheat. And when I was with my boyfriend, I was faithful to him and I've been faithful to Jay. But I've lied to him about really stupid shit repeatedly. Some of it be it drinking, some of it being intention, whatever that is. So, you know, he definitely has a skepticism of me, but I don't think.
Oh, yeah, with drinking.
Yeah. Or drinking. Saying like, being like, oh no, being like, I just took a sip and then being like, oh, I did two shots and it was my idea, you know? And that's something where he goes, and this is kind of, I'm like, I don't sit here and go, like, I do think I'm damaged.
Yeah.
I do. Like, whether with sex or daddy issues or all that, like, I had a weird upbringing. I think we all have our damage. So I think every single person alive is damaged in some way. And my damage has led me to like whatever type of relationships I hold.
Yeah.
But
yeah, everybody's damaged. It's not damage really.
There's a funny joke on Cleveland show. He's like, who's not trying to fill a hole?
Right.
You know, it's like we all are. I would just be, I hope he never feels the need to lie to me. And that's what it is. It's like, you know,
well, you should go with a contingency plan ahead of time. Cause here's the deal. Let's say I heard this story about Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
True or not. I don't know. But the story was that he had this girl that he was in love with in high school and a little bit through college, and he became Ben Affleck. And he just couldn't not cheat. He had nines and tens throwing themselves at him. He's like, you don't have to know my name. I just want to fuck you and leave. And like it's way harder than some house husband who's had four opportunities in the last 10 years. So it's not like, well, I'm faithful. I'm better than him. It's like, at some point, the girl realized, she goes, Ben, it's like, you just can't. I get it. You're in a place where that's just, it's too much. It's like, if you have to travel for your job, you can't say, I need you here all day, every day.
Yeah.
You just can't have that. So then she was like, all right, go be free. And he paid for her graduation school and her cars and stuff.
Her graduation school?
Graduation, yeah. No, not graduate. Graduate school. Very good. And but they just couldn't do it. If Jay becomes way more successful, you're going to have to come up with another contingency plan.
You know, and that...
Maybe just take a picture or something. I don't
take
know.
Take a picture. Because this is the thing. It's like, I know that Jay's not really super impressed by the fact that girls want to fuck him when he gets off stage. But I do think that, oh man, there's going to be some really beautiful chicks. And this is the thing too, when it comes down to it, I go, you know, if Jay gets rich and successful and has everybody do everything for him and he decides he just wants a fucking young hot girl on his arm, then he wants a young hot... You know, that's something too where I go...
Oh, right.
You
that know, has nothing to do with you. Then
it has nothing to do with
me. It won't be that girl or the next girl. It'll be a girl.
It'll be a girl, but it's like... There's also something to that too where I do feel like I have a responsibility to Jay to be a good girlfriend, and in being a good girlfriend, to take care of myself, to make sure that I keep my body together and make sure that I'm... Even just doing, and these are the things I go in sloppy, like keeping a good house, I think
clean.
It's part of like being a girl.
My house guest just left.
Yeah.
I think this girl does nothing all day. And it's like, just sweep.
Yeah.
Just make it look nice. No, when my wife would clean the apartment, I feel I was on cloud nine for a while.
And Jay's
while it still
very.
Still smelled of lemon and shit.
Yeah. And Jay's neater than me, so that's been a struggle. But I do think that I've, you know, I feel like I told him, I go, if you do make money, can the first thing be electrolysis for my mustache? So I feel like I have a responsibility to keep myself together. And, you know, there's something to it too, where it's like, I think about just the idea of like, I hope that people aren't like, if he's like, this is my girlfriend, I hope they're not like, oh, that he's with that pig, you know, because it's like,
no,
the
that.
Fact of the matter is that when you are a talented, successful man, you can get a 10. And I'm not a 10.
Right.
I don't think I'm busted, but like I'm not a 10.
No.
And so it's one of those things where just knowing that, and it's like I can't let that anxiety affect me. What I can hope for is hopefully we're charming enough where we get to fuck a couple of the 10s.
You ever see House of Cards?
No.
Well, there's this. I've only started it, so I don't really know. I've only done like two episodes, but this
That's
seems like this
Kevin Spacey?
There seems like this relationship where like he might cheat, but his wife, who's like a congressman too, or some other powerful person, like they're down forever for all of it. Yeah. And then he can fuck once in a while, but like that ain't ever gonna weigh that relationship.
And that
like
know,
supersedes sex and all that stuff. Like they're in it to win it.
That's the relationship that I hope to maintain with Jay for the rest of our, you know, the rest of our time together. And I, you know, I, in my head, our relationship ends with one of us dying.
Oh, right.
So, and I say that because
that's when, the most romantic thing you can think.
I say that because I think about who we are and what our paths are and what our goals are, and I just think that we fit well together, and I think that we can, you know, uplift each other and support each other through our careers and be able to like work together as well.
Yeah.
But I do hope, because, and like I said, trying to act like the guy you're with doesn't want to fuck every hot girl he sees is like, you're delusional.
It's ridiculous.
It's like men want to fuck. That's what they want to do, and you know, girls want to, and I'm not saying that, you know, girls will think about that too,
to
but
me,
not
if
to
if they
the
want
same
to, that's the same act as doing it. That you're saying, like, I should be enough for you. It's like, but if they desire it, then you're not enough for them.
You're not enough. There are cultures where it's like, I got all my high horse because I read Sex at Dawn, and I was like, monogamy's for fools.
That's what everyone does after they read that.
You know, everybody, but they're, you know, obviously it's like, I just don't, because I don't have that thing where I think, oh, he doesn't love me or I'm not enough for him because he wants to fuck a hot girl. I really look at it with that simple male perspective of, yeah, I want to fuck her because she's a hot girl. Like, there's pussy there. Like, I know,
I'm a man.
Men are motivated by, like, I can't even imagine, as far as like career and success goes, to have pussy as motivation. Like, we don't have that.
So Jeff Ross said at my storyteller show in Montreal once, when that year we were all there together for Matthew's show. Me and Jay did it with Jeselnik, and that's where I met him, actually, in that show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jay did my show.
I went up there that year. I stayed with Benji and Gabe in a hotel room.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Gabe's and Jen not even Cole, around anymore. And we all drove up together.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Gabe's just snoring.
But Jeff was like, you know, a lot of guys get into comedy for, you know, for success or something, and then, you know, the pussy comes. I just got into it for the pussy, because that was the reason I started this thing, so I get laid once in a while.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
you
weird.
Should, if that ever
moment.
Does happen, where he does become bigger, and hopefully it happens soon.
It's hopefully kinda, it happens soon. I think bigger. It's around the corner. What I told Jay is, like, it was like, you need to get used to. I go, you just need to get used to more people recognizing you. I go, because everybody wants that, but once it happens, I imagine it becomes very, very annoying.
I don't want. I've seen it with Rogan, and I've seen it with a couple other people, and I realize, like, I see myself right now in like this whirlpool of like going down into that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as much as I could in the last 2 years, I'm like, let me try to do all the, like, the music festivals I can, mm-hmm. and all the shit that you can't really do once you're famous.
Yeah,
fame is gonna suck.
I think it's gonna suck.
Walking around the streets of New York, shit like that.
Yeah.
Rogan can't just live here and walk around all day.
There is something to be said about like these nines and tens that they're gonna. It's like, if they don't walk up to Jay and literally say, "Take your pants off, I want to suck your dick right now," like, he won't make.
exactly. So you can tell
he won't make a move.
Yeah. It definitely threw
like,
it out there.
There's no
for
way.
Him.
Like, mm-hmm. even I don't think all the fame in the world will change his sensitivity to rejection.
Oh, jeez. I had somebody who said the theory was that guys only cheat with ugly girls. Because if they were ugly when they started, like Robin Williams would only cheat with ugly girls.
Oh, yeah.
And they said because he developed his sense of sexual identity as without fame at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, up until 24 when he hit big or whatever it was, so he still thinks of himself as that kid,
mm-hmm.
as that gawky 19-year-old who was trying and failing to get laid.
Yeah.
So when he sees a 7, he's like, no way, I can't score that.
You know? Go for 5.
Yeah. They'll get married to the rich ones, like the nice-looking ones, but then they'll cheat with the ugly ones.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, I don't know. I think hottest guy I ever had sex with was the worst lay.
Thank you.
And I think there's something to it where they go.
Yeah, they don't have to work as hard.
They don't have. They just, the guys don't have to work. Like, I fucked this guy that was a UCLA football player. Ooh. Worst sex. Just horrendous.
Really?
Just
really?
Absolutely horrendous. And I thought he was a good looking guy. And there's something to that with the girls, too, where it's like, if a girl's way of having sex is just like laying there and being like, this is my body.
It's like, why do you think you're good at sex? You're not.
So that's something too, where it's like, I imagine it can being hot off on. But with good. Now, yes. with the thing is with the young girls now is that all these young girls grew up watching porn.
Yeah.
So, you know, they... The learning curves off. Like, they know it all. There's girls.
It's a different era.
I didn't put
the
my finger.
Game is different.
I didn't put my finger in an asshole until I was like 28 years old. These girls are just like that. That's just what they do. That.
Yeah.
That's
all the barriers have been taken down.
Facial shots, all that shit where it's like, and, you know, it, and this is something that, you know, I don't think I'm some genius for having this thought. It's just like, wow, like girls are doing that. And it again, it ties into that thing where it's just like they're not doing it for them.
So, I don't
they're
know.
Not. I don't think they're doing it because they're like, I love getting cut. Because this is the thing, having a guy that you're like in throes of passion with, like jerk off on your face or whatever that may be, can be a really sexy, hot moment.
Yeah.
If that's what the sex has led up to. But just doing that because you saw in some video that that's what guys like.
The problem is you can't really do that with relationships. You can do that with, like, some guy you're hooking up with.
What?
That, like, spit in my face and then jizz all over my nose.
I think,
nose.
I mean, I didn't start doing that until my relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I definitely have way it's, better.
It comes from a place
I have
of
way,
demeaning.
Way better way. So demean each other. Demean. Take out your aggression yeah. in bed. Like, I, for me, doing that with somebody I know I love is way, like, I would, I, for however much sex I have, I think before Jay was a pretty boring lay.
Yeah.
I just wow. didn't. I think I could always give a good beige, but beige, other than that, yeah. like I just don't think I was very exciting or entertaining at all.
Every girl just, thinks they give great blowjobs, but here's what they really mean: blowjobs are great.
And blowjobs are great.
Yeah.
So
you're like, wow, the guys always act happy.
Yeah,
like,
and
yeah,
also it's like Jay's like you. He's like, there's no way you gave good head when you were six. It was like I'm trying to. I was like, yeah. I'm like, why am I? You just get so. It's like when the person you're having sex with says something about your sexuality that's not positive. I just think your immediate reaction is like, nah, I've always sucked great dick. It's yeah. like nobody sucks great dick when they're 16 years old.
My brother did that. He had my car. I was in Israel, and he had my car, or we used to share it sometimes. And so maybe I was home for the summer or something. And I was like, hey, Michael, can you be careful of the crumbs? There's like this hard pretzel crumbs everywhere. He goes, that wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
He's like, well, you're the only one that eats hard pretzels in the car.
Yes.
And you can't eat those giant hard pretzels without making crumbs. So it's I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, clean it up next time. He's like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, why do you deny
it's
right
denying.
Away?
You know what it is? Something clicked with me.
No, I didn't.
Something clicked with me with my childish behavior with Jay when I heard him talking to his daughter.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you see how that's so fucking annoying when I am talking to you in the same way that
just
I'm talking to my 12-year-old?
No
and I'm like...
What?
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah. I, because it's like I didn't. And it's like, look, with work too, I've definitely had to repair my relationship with my bosses. And those guys put up with a lot of shit. I mean, it's,
oh, yeah.
I work for a company with a lot of cooks in the kitchen and a lot of people with their own needs. But I mean, I've had to repair my relationship with them just because of my reactionary, selfish yeah. attitude. And literally just always having, like, if they're like, Christine, you're not doing this, this, me like, but I'm yeah. doing all this other shit and I'm doing this, this, they're like
that's,
like,
not,
that's
the
not the point. The point is that you're not doing this thing that
Red
we asked
Band
you
used
to
get
do.
Like that. It was so frustrating when you're like, hey, I think we should need to improve this. It goes, well, I did this and this and this for you. And it's like, yeah, man.
It's like,
yeah.
I didn't say that.
You're just not doing this. I mean, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I said thank you for those.
And, it, you know, it is a little, too, where
it's
Jay's brought up with Lewis, too,
like
where
that.
He goes, because I think me and Lewis are both been, like, just pigs in our life
yeah.
as far as the way that we've
Lewis
lived.
Lewis gets like that, too, refuses to just denies instantly.
Lewis will want to be, like, congratulated for something that you shouldn't, that just, like, any adult would do.
Yeah.
But it's, like, with me, too, like, we're on the Real Ass Diet. And the no
are
carbs,
really
no
on,
sugar.
That's the Real Ass Diet?
That's the Real Ass Diet.
No
this,
carbs, no
Louis
sugar.
J. Gomez.
Sugar is carbs, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why you can't have it. Well, it's not no sugar, no carbs. It's no sugar, no bread, no pasta, no rice, no like starches, no
but
potatoes.
You can have as much fruit as you want.
Fruit, vegetables, but you know, still.
But still what?
But still, it's like you still shouldn't, like I was eating a lot of fruit at night. It's still sugar.
Oh, you can't. You should.
You can, but you should be smart about it. You can't.
You know what I just read about? That is that when you eat candy, as one of us do, which one is it again? Oh, yeah, me. When you eat candy, That's all just straight sugar, mm-hmm. and that you'll get a spike. But we mean like pineapple, which also has a lot of sugar. It has fiber in it too,
yeah.
which makes it break down evenly. It takes way longer to break down through the body, so there's no sugar rush.
Yeah,
and you break it down in a completely different way.
Yeah, it's, well, it's, I mean, it's just like ridiculous for anybody. It's like, yeah, we're obviously not supposed to eat M&Ms. Like, that's not food.
Everyone
it's,
in China's thin. And like, they don't eat sugar.
As I'm so sick of people. I'm so sick of fat people, and I'm so sick of fucking complaining fat people, and I'm so upset with the like big is beautiful movement.
Oh yeah,
it's great. And I think some of that is from LA.
Jiggly
I didn't say
is
that
beautiful.
I said
jiggly is beautiful, not fat is beautiful. Just a little something is beautiful.
You have a little something, but it's like, don't get
a little something.
Don't be 200 pounds and act like that's sexy. Like you're you have too much weight on your body.
Look at this. Do you see this?
Yeah, you're skinny fat. You need to go to the gym.
Tone it up.
You need to tone that shit up.
They tell you what Nick Youssef said about my body.
What?
Looks like a melting candle.
I liked Holocaust. That's great. Yeah. I like Holocaust corpse.
Holocaust corpse. Yeah, that was good. That was a fun roast battle.
It was fun. Walking in there was like, whoa.
Mike Lawrence came into the Undertaker song.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Your entrance was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Just thanks. Techno.
Techno. Yeah, and then I proposed to Jamar, my black Jewish bride, and then stomped on a glass.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a really fun thing. I told Jeff I'm producing the rematch.
The rematch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The RJ rematch.
We'd both be
rematch.
Less nervous. God.
Yeah, you guys were. I think that, yeah, you fumbled so bad. And then Jay had this whole thing planned out, but it was like, it definitely was a weird.
After seeing Mike Lawrence do it, though, coming right out the gate with some fucking haymaker is a great idea. Yeah. I was like, I got to save these for the end of rounds.
No, just fucking go.
Very first
hard
joke
right
of the night,
away.
You should tell the whole crowd, like, shut up and listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm about to deliver some good ones.
I also think that, I don't know, I said to Brian didn't agree with me, but I said you should have podiums.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's like, it's a battle, not a debate. And I was like, every roast has a podium.
Yeah. But the thing is, they don't do it in the belly room, but in the belly room, they're also way closer together. That stage was giant.
That stage was giant. It was at the Gramercy Theater. Like,
they needed people all the way around the people. And so to shove them closer together so that the battle area was way smaller. They needed that.
Yeah.
But then the wave couldn't have done it. I don't know. It was still fun.
This
wasn't like the belly room.
This last week was really great and probably definitely the most comedy. I've ever been involved in the comedy festival.
It's the first time to me. I've been here for 3 years for it now. Yeah. It's the first time it's actually felt like a festival to me.
It felt like a festival, and it was really cool having, you know, your agent, your and Jay's agent, Justin, came into town, mm-hmm. which I love Justin, and having
greatest.
Him here, and Valentine was here, and Eric from Comedy Central was floating around. It was just... It was a fun week of shows, and I was panicked because I took on a lot this year, and my shows were not, you know, a week before the show, I'm at like 27
in
a 200
seat room. Sales off that.
We ended up selling out. We ended up selling out, but it was like the underground shows were probably the lineups that I've been the most proud of. I was super excited with that show, and it went great.
I did it finally.
You did it finally. And,
I did it once in Montreal too, actually.
And it was just...
And the taping.
Yeah. You did the show, and it was just, I think the time, we do it once a month, so I think you've been out of town a lot. You're in China forever, you're in LA, you did your special, so those went fantastic. The crowd work show we did was the best one that we've ever done in New York, definitely.
Brody was interesting.
Yeah,
on
Brody
that.
Was great. I was so excited
straight
to have Brody Stevens on it.
And just started like...
Well, this is the thing, is that it wasn't going great. Jay got up on stage, and then Brody asked me, he's like, what do I do? And I go, the show's all about just creating moments. Uh-huh. I go, it's very loose. You can do whatever you want. You can do crowd work off the cuff. I always use the example of Todd Glass just doing characters when he took the craft services grapes and just did a whole thing that wasn't crowd work at all. And Gerard Carmichael created a whole backstory for someone in the audience. So show's definitely loose, but it just wasn't going that great. So he just went out into the audience and started screaming his credits at people. And he was like, are you jealous? Because I'm friends with David Spade. And I thought it was a blast. I just thought,
where'd you go to high school?
So
this guy said it. It goes, yes. And California. He goes, where? And he said somewhere. He's like, that's where two members of Toto went. Am I right?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you are.
Van Nuys High Schools.
Yeah.
And the musical was a lot of fun. And we had Jay's album release party at the Stand.
Oh, yeah.
And
what's Jay's
just,
album? That's a crowd work album?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
What's Your Fucking Deal?
Oh, he's calling
it's called Crowd Work Sessions. What's Your Fucking Deal? They really, and that was a name he came up with when we decided to do the show in Montreal. I was like, I want to call it What's Your Fucking Deal? I was like, perfect. And
you did it at Cleopatra or you did it somewhere else?
We did it at
The Skull Place?
St. Catherine's.
Oh, Theater St. Catherine.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's a long room.
Well, it was a long room. The first time we did it, I think maybe this year in Montreal, we can actually do a show. I have to start getting on that stuff with Rebecca like now. But we did it originally as a midnight surprise. So it was the Thursday night midnight surprise.
Theater St. Catherine, just a different midnight surprise show.
Every show was a midnight surprise. So we did
he had Colin Quinn doing it, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was so great.
It's great.
We had Colin Quinn, Todd Glass.
Glass is amazing.
Jeff Ross did it the first time.
Yeah.
And then we did it South by Southwest. We did it at New York Comedy Festival last year and this year. And we've done a couple shows. Usually Atel was out of town. So it was like, I was kind of bummed that obviously it's like Atel's a master.
The addition of adding Artie into the crowd is pretty great for it, or will.
Yeah, we were going to film it with Artie, but then the accident happened with Artie. So it kind of went backburnered a little bit. But it really is like.
That was my favorite roast joke.
Oh, yeah. You said I didn't say Artie for a reason.
afterwards. You're like, oh, I'm like, what I use? Yeah. Jay's open for two different vegetables. Tracy Morgan and Corn.
Corn and Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
Oh, so fucked up.
My favorite one of the night was Mike Lawrence about Bonnie. That was his opening haymaker. You weren't there for it.
I wasn't there. And
because
I love.
Bonnie's upset. She wants to challenge me because she's upset about her place in the industry. She doesn't feel like she's gotten her just place in the industry as something like that. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Bonnie, you're a 42-year-old woman. There is no place.
I remember we were driving down. I love Bonnie did the Florentine roast years ago at Comics and just annihilated. And Bonnie McFarlane is one of my favorites. I just find her to be so.
Not enough people know.
So sharp.
Underrated.
She's so sharp and so quick witted and so talented. And we were driving down. And I was like, Bonnie better fucking win.
She didn't win.
I was like, what?
She had a team badge. People came with posters.
But Mike's
like,
harsh,
Galari.
Man. Mike's Mike will go in.
Yeah. Oh, he'll go for it.
Yeah.
He's a great writer.
He's a great writer.
He works so hard. All his At Midnight shit, all his that, my storyteller show, he just works. He's like, cool.
One of the hardest working guys in comedy, and always has been. From open mic level to now, he's just always worked hard.
Not always bad.
Sometimes. Not always.
All right, Christine, let's finish this up.
Okay.
Do you want to promote anything or anything?
I don't have anything to promote. Oh.
When's the next? When's the next?
I don't know. I don't have anything to plug right now. It's just ended, so I'm spending this week trying to figure out what's next.
All right.
We are, the Stand is taking over a comedy club in Long Island City, so I'm doing that. So we're trying to find
stuff
there.
And rebuild the stage?
I don't know if we're going to rebuild the stage. There's only so much we can do.
Put it in a different place at least?
People say if you put it against the back wall that it just feels like a hallway and it feels like everything gets lost. But it is awkward. It's an awkward, believe me. Like I'm a pessimist. So I'm like, why are we taking over this shithole? This is garbage and it's stupid. And I spent a couple weeks there and I mean, really is a great room when we're full on a Saturday night, the crowd that comes into Queens, I think it's more local, more like working class, like blue collar Queens guys that work in the city. So we get, I don't think there's anything worse than a Saturday night, 8 o'clock audience in New York City. I think that's like the worst people that come out. I love Thursday audiences. I love late night audiences. It's amateur hour. Saturday, 8 o'clock is amateur hour. A lot of dates, a lot of
people who never go out.
People that never go out.
That's why comics hate Halloween.
Yeah.
Because we do this every night.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me, oh, we got to get dressed up and have fun and go out. No, man, you're all amateurs.
Yeah.
Leave it to
when
the
you
amateurs.
Work in when you work either as an entertainer, or you work in nightlife. It's just like you know you see the people, the warriors come out, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
So, but our crowds on the weekend over there, they're a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's a lot of fun. So cool. You know we'll work on it. We're doing some smaller stuff there, but I think we're teaming up with All Things Comedy to make it like a studio.
Oh really?
Yeah. So that will be updated, and then
that's cool. We're trying to get one in LA right now. I should mention this too. We got a drive going on that we're trying to move Punch Drunk to this our sports podcast to the studio in LA. They're trying to build it. We need to raise $10,000 to like pay for it.
I feel like it's so easy to raise $10,000 nowadays.
We've got like $2,500 raised.
Yeah,
we need to raise more.
That crowdfunding thing.
I'll put a link on my website if anyone wants to donate to All Things Comedy, which is like me and Burr and Madrigal and now
Jay and Ralph Ron. Sex, Drugs, and Rock. We're probably going to do an SDR show with like porn stars and all that. So that should be fun.
Cool. Well, all right. Enjoy your threesomes.
Thanks.
What song would you like to go
let's
out
hope
to?
I don't get let's hope I don't get left in the dust.
What do you mean?
Made out to look like a fool.
Oh, you won't. It's all weird. So you're gonna be like, I hate myself. yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. You know, it's like it really is it is interesting to find that the jealousy doesn't lie in the sex, but it does lie in the is some other chick gonna come take my place?
Yeah. Have you found things that you thought would make you jealous and then maybe even did a little bit, and then once you've talked yourself down, be like, am I really jealous about that, or is that just a rule breaking? And then been like, well, you know what? I'm actually
not jealous. Yeah, a couple of where there was a thing where he was like, so-and-so's going to come meet us at the house, and we're walking over to the cellar, and like, we'll meet, like, and I've like snapped about it.
No,
and then almost right after, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have snapped about that. Now, the problem is, I feel like if you can control your reaction, it's almost like fake it till you make it. I feel like if I can work on controlling the immediate reaction and actually take a second to breathe and think about it,
that's what they call NFL refs.
This isn't going to like this isn't going to be the night my guy gets stolen from me. Right. Like this girl's not going to charm him into leaving me. Yeah. You know, like we'll deal with it. But
you're more likely to make an error reacting instantly than than
you and were, it's like I you know. You when you're a reactionary person, you can create a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
So there are certain things, and you know, then you can also see if it consistently bothers you, trying to find out why it bothers you. But the things I thought, like I said, I really I did not know how I was going to feel about him fucking another girl.
Would you ever have a foursome?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Mm-mm.
Oh. I was I feel
like it sounds hot in theory, and especially for the guy, because that's almost like harem sex. Yeah. Like you have girls like all wanting, but like I said, if you don't have people that fuck well together, it can get a little headbangy and a little, so it's like,
I bet it could also break off into groups.
It would like almost be nice. Like if we found a girl that we had good chemistry with, and then she was like, oh, I have really good chemistry with my friend.
Boom.
And I want to bring her in.
Twosomes.
And then you could kind of like, you know,
When a guy finishes, is way more final than when a girl finishes.
Mm-hmm.
When Jay finishes, do you guys keep going?
No, but Jay will hold out until the end, or he can go again too. So sometimes him finishing isn't as final.
What do you guys do? You just don't use condoms?
He uses condoms with all the other girls.
And then takes it off for you,
mm-hmm.
and then puts it another one back on.
Yeah, but it's generally not like a switch. Like that's the thing too, where it's like whatever the fun sex of like switching up. Like, but I'm like, I don't want you fucking other girls without condoms. Like that, you
right?
Know, that's like I'm like you gotta.
But with you too?
No, he doesn't use condoms with me.
So he takes that condom off.
Or sometimes he'll finish, or like we'll fuck for a little bit, and then he'll put the condom on. He'll generally. He's finished a lot, like fucking the other girl, and I don't really take that as like an insult. I take that as like, oh well, this is like
you only get to come inside her once in a while.
You know, you know what I mean. Like, whereas like I'm like,
when else are you gonna do it?
Come with each other all the time. Like, let him, you know, fuck this girl till he,
till he pukes.
But yeah, there's been mishaps. I hilarious. Like, I've banged heads with the girl. I've like, like literally banged heads, and I've like fallen off the bed before.
Yeah,
and that's the thing too with the alcohol. Like last night, just drank too much, and it just wasn't fun. Unfortunately, the alcohol loosens that initial, because I still like there's still a little bit of that like fear.
Oh, my fucking brain. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. You got to go to the doctor. But alcohol just kind of fucks it up. It's always better. Like maybe a glass of wine.
One or two
but there's
glasses
nothing
of wine tops,
but fucking drunken. There's nothing worse than drunken sex. And then you go, you're like, oh, we have this really awesome sexual situation happening. And like, I'm not even that. Because that was the thing with that girl that he just totally blew it with. Like, I don't know, maybe I went down on her, like maybe I might, like I don't really even know exactly what we did together, because it was just like drunken, you know.
You ever put a dildo on?
No, I've never done that.
Has a girl done it with you?
Mm-mm.
Well,
No, I've used a dildo on a girl, but I've never used a strap on.
Oh, right.
I could see how that would be hot, but I just there's something so goofy about that where I just feel like,
that is weird. The porn, like,
oh, any
like,
lesbian
what?
Porn where like the girls are sucking on strap-ons, you're like, get out of here.
Strap-ons, yeah,
get like, out of here. But there's something about that. There's something about the goofy idea of me like banging a girl like a man with a fake date. There's something about that where I'm just like, I don't know. That's a little much. But I don't know if the opportunity arose.
Yeah,
where that I don't have one.
That'd be cool. Yeah,
it could be cool. It could, you know, and it's also like it could be hot for maybe he would think that was super hot too. Yeah, I don't know how hot. I mean, I get the double sided stuff, but like I don't know how hot it is for the girl.
Here's
actually,
what I think the situation
you dominating.
Want. She's on all fours. She's blowing Jay, who's on his knees. You're behind the girl on your knees. Boning her with a strap on.
I like your live demo.
And then thanks. And then you and Jay, because you guys
and
are
then
be facing each
hands.
Other. No, doing that man in the mirror thing. You lower your hand, and he lowers his hand, and you both like look left together and look right. Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun and bring
a
you guys closer
fun.
Together and be more Broadway-ish.
Be more Broadway-ish, and Jay is on his way to becoming a Broadway star.
Yeah, that's right, with How the Musical.
With How the Musical.
They should break that in, a mirror sex scene with its strap on. All right, Christine.
All right.
Was there anything you wanted to say that you think that was not clear enough, that you wanted, like, that you were like, hold on, that I didn't get that out right. That seems like I was into one thing and not another.
No, I think I did all right. I'm always okay. I'm like, I don't want to sound, my nerves, this is the first time I've ever done a podcast, so my nerves are always like, I'm like, I hope I don't sound stupid, and I hope that, my fear in doing this is just now having, I don't want to fuck every girl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Too, is an open relationship, like, oh, so she fucks everybody? And like, no.
I'm not sexually attracted to every girl, and I'm not sexually attracted to every guy. And there's something weird when you're fucking both the sexes where it's like, I have girlfriends that are girlfriends that I would never have sex with and have never had sex with. And then, you know, there's some girls where it's like that attraction's there and the relationship's always sexual.
Right.
I would find it very, I wouldn't really want to have like a, like if you're fucking your best friend, that's almost a relationship in itself. So I like to keep that a little separate.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, yeah. But I'm always worried. I'm like, oh, now all my girlfriends are going to think I want to fucking eat their boxes. Yeah. I'm like, Jay will fuck them all.
Boxes.
So it's, I have to be the one that
who's the deciding factor. Yeah. You're going to be the tiebreaker.
Jay would just be like, yeah. So I have to go like, no.
Yeah.
She's a friend.
It will fuck up a relationship.
Yeah.
Friendship. But my thing is too, it's like once you get to the point where you like a girl like that and you want, like you really want, like you have a crush on her,
mm-hmm.
but if you're just friends, it's already over.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be like, no, this is going to mess up our friendship. It's like, it's already been messed up.
It's already messed up because it's like you want to fuck.
Yeah. I will say, as with all these podcasts, we are just talking, and it's not like an interview where I'm like, tell me your thought out ahead of time thoughts on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it should all be taken with a grain of salt where somebody says, like, they ask me why I moved to New York. And sometimes my first answer like will be like, well, I never had sex with a black chick. And I wanted to. and if the conversation moves from there, people go like, that's the reason? And like, no, that's one of like 30 reasons. We just didn't get to the rest.
Yeah.
And it's not the first reason.
Yeah. I do find it, like I said, though, it was I definitely wanted to experiment more with my sexuality than I did.
Yeah.
And so it is exciting to be in a relationship where that door is still open to have new experience. Because I think there's also something sexy. Like, I feel like it can be a turn on to like watch somebody else get turned on by your partner. You know,
yeah.
It's like we definitely like we'll make out while he's fucking a girl. And it definitely like there's not a lack of sweetness to it.
Right.
There is something, you know, something there where it's like, this is a very sexy moment we're sharing together.
Me and my wife used to have this thing where she would ditch guys on dates and then, so that they would like pay for the movie and I'd pay for one ticket and sit in the back. And then she would claim she was sick. And then she'd be like, I gotta go. I'm taking a cab. Run out and come to the back and sit with me.
Are you still friends with your ex-wife?
Nah, she's into Jesus now. I mean, we're still friendly. You know, we'll talk once in a while or send
a text. Was she a Jew for Jesus?
No, she was just Jesus the whole time. Well, she was nothing. And then she was like, you know, her parents were like semi.
You are actually divorced. You did all the paperwork.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to imagine you married.
It was just like.
I forget. I think everybody, you're like an aloof single guy. But I'm like, oh, no, you've had like a, you had a whole thing.
Yeah, but that was, you know, it still didn't feel any different.
No.
Yeah, it was just like.
Maybe that's why it didn't work out.
It's like with you and Jay now. You're living together. You're pretty much married. I mean, what's the difference? You live together.
You know what?
Same shit.
That's kind of like my thought process, but he's somebody, look, I don't necessarily think the paperwork changes the dynamic of a relationship. I think a kid
does.
I think that's what it is. When you go from being in a relationship with a person to being a family.
Yeah.
I think that just it's different.
Yeah.
But I don't know how different I would feel signing the paperwork. And I don't know. I think if we did decide to get married, I don't think I would want a wedding. I think I'd want it to be a very private matter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, underwater or something.
Underwater. Scuba gear.
Where I got this fucking bacteria from.
We'll get married on motorboat.
On motorboat. Oh, fart.
We'll have the captain of motorboat fucking hitch us.
What's the other one? Motorboat? What's the other one?
Shiprocked.
Shiprocked. Oh, God, barf.
They're the best. I don't know why you won't come.
I won't come because it's when I'm in LA for pilot season.
Oh.
And so I can't leave during the weekend. It's like Monday to Friday.
Whatever.
If it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I would go. And also being with Jay on a ship with a fucking water slide, I would love that. Like, that's one of those things I want to do where it's like, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. If I get like Daniel Tosh level. Maybe though.
The thing about those cruises is like the bands, it's like some of your biggest fans are on that ship, but it's like everybody's cool.
Really?
Yeah. But you know, the like when Jonathan Davis was on, he didn't really come out of his cabin much.
He's too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something where
all it takes is one out of 10 fans. To be too annoying, and you're like, okay, I can't go anywhere.
I can't imagine. I just
like fucking, most of the
my whole thing. I'm like, oh my god, like my narcissism and Jay's fame. I was like, I'm gonna be like if Jay actually gets to a level of fame where he's photographed or whatever. I was like, I'm gonna be like, people are gonna talk shit about me.
Yeah,
and like that's something where as a girl, where I'm like, I'm gonna fucking. I was like, people are going to talk shit about me.
I know,
and strangers are gonna make me feel bad.
I've seen stars where I know them by their actor's name, you know, not by the character, but I know who they are. And people know, like, you say their name, people are like, oh yeah, sure. And when I see their wives, I go like, what? You're with that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Because they love them or something? Like, it's so shallow. But it just seems like I should be with somebody like 8 or above.
Yeah.
Like real hot.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's something where it's like, that is something with getting into a relationship with somebody before they hit.
Yeah.
Where you're like, please don't love me when you're famous.
I'm like
I have total faith in him. In his career.
Oh, yeah.
I have total faith that his time will come.
I feel like now have more faith in it. About a year and a half ago, I felt like he could fail out.
I had, you know, it's funny. It was around that time where it's like, I think I started seeing, and also Jay made some
strides.
Yes. Yeah. He buckled down a little bit more and started doing some of the stuff that is not the fun stuff.
Right.
Sending a transcript back and forth for a late night set is so annoying, but he did it. You know, it was like he worked through it.
It's like, yes, it's not your skill. It's not what you trained at. It's not even what you want to do.
Yeah.
But we needed to do this.
And I just think, you know, I think the industry didn't really know how to make sense of him. And I think he started to figure out how to make sense of himself a little bit. And I think the radio, that being a medium for him to express himself, that just makes so much more sense than
a
sitcom or a fucking, like, for him.
Yeah, like, why like being a radio
personality, doing podcasts, doing all that. It just, it's like, of course, he's great in this forum because he's quick.
So Ralphie told Jeff Ross when he got that offer to do Revolution or whatever that show was, when all the power went out.
The Gabriel Iglesias? No,
that show where all the power went out on Earth. NBC show, the Eric Abrams show.
Show.
And he was like, should I take that? And Ralphie's like, look, man, you're a comic. You spent your entire career building a comedy. And now you're going to do what everybody else does and just go to drama?
Yeah.
Like, be what you're great at.
Yeah.
Quit being what you're not great at.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that, Jay's so quick.
He's so quick. And it's such a great form for him. And I love Dan Soder so much. He's somebody I'm in such support of. So I really hope that this does something great for the two of them.
Yeah,
I
think it will. Yeah.
And just you know, just having Ron Bennington as an actual mentor to him, I know means the world.
Ron
to him
Bennington is one of the reasons, one of the things I base me on this podcast on, like the interview style is off Ron Bennington, off his Unmasked stuff.
Yeah,
because it's amazing. So good.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's go because I gotta.
I know I gotta go to work.
Ew, barf.
Come to the stand.
I can't tonight. I gotta upload
Third Avenue today. Between 19th and 20th. I'm telling your fans, okay, not you.
Yeah,
you're there enough.
Third Avenue, I get it. 19th and 20th.
Something, something Jew.
Great club every night. You might know him from Evening at Israel.
Well, thanks for having me on. I hope I was fun to talk to.
One of the worst guests I've ever had, but thank you for doing it. No, that was good. Thank you. All right, I got to call Noam back.
Noam?
Yeah.
Noam?
Noam.
You say it all. You say it.
You guys say Noam.
You say it as a member of the tribe.
You guys say it like it's something you put on your lawn.
Gnome.
Yeah. There's an A in there.
All right. Get it.
My friend says, we have this friend Benji, whose sister is named Yael. He always calls her Yale.
Yale?
But it's not Yale. Whatever you guys say. Anyway, all right. Thanks, Christine.
Thanks, Ari.
Well, oh, what song would you like to go out at? Is there a good song about threesomes?
I don't think so. I don't know any good songs about threesomes.
What about any good song? If I can't find four songs about threesomes.
How about California Dreamin'?
California, because that's what you are, and I was getting cold.
I feel like that's not a good exit song.
No, that's fine.
That's fine?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
That's the episode, you guys. What did you think? That was my Transylvanian accent. God, I'm bad at accents. Weakest part of my game, by far. Yeah, it's the episode. So thank you very much for tuning in. Again, please don't forget to go to allthingscomedy.com or arithegreat.com, where you can donate to All Things Comedy to help us get the studio right on Sunset so it's accessible to everyone. And I have tour merch up. I have my tour shirt, my 2014 tour shirt that are almost sold out. If you want to get one now. You can also get, if you're in Los Angeles, a marijuana grinder. If you're outside of Los Angeles or Colorado, it's a spice grinder. They have them both there. We might have a package available where if you get like a t-shirt and a grinder, then you get a CD for free or something like that. Check it out. It's on my website, arithegreat.com, on merch. And I believe that I have gotten my 2015 tour shirt. I think I got a lot of submissions that were, some were pretty good. I think I settled on one. I might end up going another one too, just as like a shirt, but not an official tour shirt. And if I do that, whoever I use, I'll also be giving you the $500. You know, when money comes in, everybody gets some. Oh, let me tell a quick story of a couple notes of good businesses and bad businesses. I got a call from MasterCard today saying we got a fraudulent charge, or what looks like a fraudulent charge. And I was like, oh no, what is it? It's some charge in Italy for $2,500 and another hotel in West Virginia for $2,500 and some other charges in Italy. And I'm like, oh yeah, those are mine. We went over the ones that were mine, weren't mine. And obviously I had the thought to go, no, I haven't. Comedy Cellar? I've never heard of that. The Stand Restaurant and Comedy Club? No, it must be fraudulent. Marijuana Incorporated? No, I don't know what that is. God, I wish there was such a place as that. But I just told them the real stuff and the fake stuff. And they're like, don't worry, all the fraudulent charges, you'll never pay for them. And we're going to overnight you a new card tomorrow. And I'm like, well, I might be here to sign it. Anywhere else we can send it? Yeah, I have a P.O. box. By the way, if you want to send me anything, I have a post office box on my website on contacts. I used to get stuff from fans. I guess I haven't put it out there much. But if you want to send me stuff, it's all right there. Well, I'll just tell you. 151 First Avenue, apartment 49. I get stuff, so whatever. Don't put any bombs or shit, because it takes me sometimes days to get there and weeks to get there. So it's just going to blow up on one of them. And then also, I let my friends open them. So if it's anthrax, you'll just kill one of them. What was I going to say now? Oh, but stuff that comes. Come on, weed. Work with me. Marijuana Incorporated. Oh, so MasterCard was beautiful. Brilliant at returning my stuff. Business 2. I've talked about the Stand standing by my side when shit hits the roof, when Mexicans get angry at me. It happens all the time. But another club just now did me a solid. I had my This Is Not Happening storyteller show at the Village Underground, owned by the Comedy Cellar. And instead of taking the money, because we started as an experimental show in Los Angeles, and we just, when it's in LA, we just do $5. I don't want to put any pressure on the comics, and I would give the money to charity. And then Planned Parenthood said they don't want my money. They refuse the money I wanted to give them. They were like, no. I'm like, what? Why? They're like, we just don't want it from you. I guess they looked me up. But I want to give you money. And they're like, there's certain money we don't want to touch. It's weird, but they don't want it. I'll be announcing my tour shirt, I think, in the next 2 weeks. And we can do pre-orders and we can ship everything for Christmas. It'd be a good Christmas gift. No, we'll have to ship everything. No, December 29th or 30th. You'll have to get them the new year. That's fair. And I think what I want to do is I want to put like stuff on the back that shows if you actually got it while I was on tour. So it'll have like tour dates on the back and small or something, at least per quarter. So I'll know what they'll be. So anyway, so that was great. And then I did my This Is Not Happening Storyteller show. It was great. Sold out. It was fucking tremendous. And last time we did it at the Village Underground, we charged $20. I was going to charge $5 again, but I did it with Bobby Kelly and Colin Quinn and a couple other guys, Metzger and Okerson. And Keith Robinson, and I was going to charge $5. Bobby's like, what $5? $20. The show's at $20. So I was like, yeah, okay, and I did, and it still did well. I guess that's what happens when you've done a show for 4 years. You get it going where people know about it. So anyway, I don't want to take the money off the backs of these comics. It's like they worked so hard preparing these stories, and it's so experimental and outside. It's not just doing a set. It's not like that where it's like, this takes some preparation. And because they've always been good, because Bill Burr's been good on the show, because Maron's been so good on the show, because Rogan's done it and been so good, and Kreischer and Diaz and Okerson and all these guys, that's why the show's taken off. So I just want to split up the money with the comics. I don't want to take any for myself. And then they were like, okay, well, tell you what, we can pay you. You get half the door, we can pay you, and then you can pay the comics. I'm like, no, but then I have to make taxes on it. So if it ends up being $100, then I'm only getting 70. And if there's five comics, I was going to pay them $20 each. Now I can't. Now I can only pay them fucking $14 each. So do you mind just paying them? And then they call me today. I'm like, yes, we can absolutely do that. Totally. Let's have the comics make more money. So good job, Comedy Cellar. Oh, this is what I really wanted to say. So we sold out. They sold out. They capped it at 185 seats. There's a lot of no-shows. And once the show started, we're like, well, there's no-shows, but there's extra seats. And there's a line outside. People bought tickets a month in advance. So why not let the people that are waiting come in? So they resold extra tickets. Now, I'm on stage. I'm dealing with the show. I'm bringing up Norton. They could easily just say it was sold out and give me the 185 tickets worth. But they said, no, we sold more. We sold 16 more tickets, and you deserve your fair cut of that. They could easily the only other person I've heard that does that is Wendy Curtis from the Comedy Works in Denver, who will go out of her way to be honest. That's one where it's not like you're even like stealing. You could easily get away with saying, hey, sold out, instead of what a lot of them do is they don't even say sell out. They just say, sorry, it was so close to a sellout, you didn't make your bonus by 3 seats. Yeah, Wendy Curtis is great at that. Rick Brunson and Tammy Brunson are great at that. They'll be cool. There's a few people that are cool. Helium has always been good about bonusing you when you get close. Say, hey, good enough. Anyway, I don't want to go on a list of which clubs are cool. But that's two good businesses. Now, let me show you another thing. I went to the Chargers-Chiefs game. I went to San Diego to do my hour, to run through my hour in preparation for taping it. Again, you know, try and come up with names. Tell me what you guys think. Would anybody get paid regular? That's their concern. That it's too insider. Nobody's going to get it. But I like the fact that it's insider. But what do you guys think? Tell me. But I don't really care. But I'm going to – don't tell me what you think. I'll decide on my own. I have to decide in 2 days anyway, so don't worry about it. So I figured, hey, Fahim Anwar's open. I was going to see if anybody from Kansas City, I looked at the schedule, wanted to go with me to open. And then I asked Rick Ingram, he's from Kansas City. He goes, no, I'm going to be in La Jolla the same weekend, so I can't do it. I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, well, hey, if you're going to be in La Jolla, which is just greater San Diego, I'm like, how about I get tickets and we go anyway? So me and Fahim and Rick Ingram, we got tickets to the Charger game through StubHub. Went on ESPN.com. It said click to buy tickets, you know, where it says preview or buy tickets, like right on top where it shows all the scores. Buy tickets takes you right to StubHub, which opens up the Chargers seats. Don't have to do a second click. Just right there off ESPN.com. Bought 3 tickets at 100 and something a piece. It's expensive, but it's football. But hey, whatever. 1 o'clock. So we had to check out of our hotel at 11 anyway. We're not going to tailgate. They made you pick up these tickets like nearby the stadium. They couldn't just do the electronics. We're like, all right, that's fine. And they said you can park there and we just walk. Fine. They said it's right next to the stadium. We parked there, got our tickets, 3 tickets, bam, perfect. Walked to the stadium, paid the $20 of parking, walked to the stadium, and wasn't close. Took 40 minutes. Took 30 minutes to get to the beginning of the stadium. They might have walked around to the entrance. 40 minutes. Go to the entrance, and they go, when they're like, scanning the tickets, And the guy's like, no, it's not working. Hold on. He goes, no, let me try yours. Took my ticket. That was Ingram's ticket. Took my ticket. No, I'm sorry, man. This is, it's just saying X. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, let me try again. No, I just like doing that. He's like, I don't know, there's a problem. You can try to go to this gate where they do customer service. So we went all the way around, went to the gate, took about 15, 20 minutes. We asked them, they're like, oh, no, these are fake. We're like, what do you mean fake? Like, this has been used or something like that. I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? We got them from StubHub. And she's like, no, you have to get it from off NFL.com or TicketExchange.com or NFL Ticket Exchange. And I was like, or Ticketmaster, they said. And I was like, no way, but I clicked on the NFL website, which I didn't. I clicked on the ESPN website. And they said, nothing we can do. Well, these two tickets are fake. Actually, the third one is real. They gave them back to us. They gave me Xeroxes of the fake ones. We walked 40 minutes back to the place. We're like, oh, this is a whole scam. On the way, we realized, like, oh, the seats match. It's seats 7, 8, 9. In row one, but sections were different for the two fake ones. We get back, we're like, what the fuck? And they go, oh, sorry. And they showed them how the seats were, the sections were different. And they go, oh, no. And they looked, they went back to all their envelopes and they go, oh, here are the tickets. We put them in the wrong envelope. We just thought they were the same ones. Here they are. And we're like, oh. And they're like, well, our first priority, before they even found that, they were like, our first priority is getting you back in the game. And I was like, oh, none of us are real big fans, we just thought we would go watch it, you know, and now it's like 5 minutes left in the second quarter and we've walked an hour and a half. We've walked, you know, 40 minutes, waited in line 20, 40 minutes back. Like, we've missed the game. We've paid for the game. We don't want it. It's not like if it was a Cowboy game, I'd be like, yeah, getting back into that game. But it's just a football game. So we're like, oh no, we bought tickets for full price because we wanted to go to a full football game. It's the first time I got to a football game on time. I mean, I showed up, we parked there at like 11:40, and it was like, we're there for the 1 o'clock game. We're going to be there way early. Maybe catch footballs at the kickoff, and not the kickoff, the fucking practice kicks. In the beginning, we're going to have a good time. Smoke pot the entire 30-minute walk there in a legal system of Los Angeles. I'm sick. First priority is getting you back into the game. It's like, oh no, that's okay, man. Just give me my money back. And they go, oh, we can't give your money back. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, it's not. And then we figured out the thing about tickets. Like, oh, here they are. Here are the real tickets. They're like, here you go. I'm like, what, here you go? No, we don't want to go anymore, man. By the time we get back there, it's going to be the third quarter. No way. I said, no. Give me my money back. And he goes, well, they'll contact you in 2 days, and they'll discuss a resolution. And I was like, what do you mean? Who will contact me? And they're like, StubHub, corporate offices or something like that. And I go, well, what do you mean? Like, how do I know they're going to? Like, well, we'll put notations in there. I'm like, but you're the ones who fucked up in the first place. Like, you're more likely to fuck up than someone else. Maybe you won't put the notation in there. And he's like, no, they'll discuss it and they'll discuss a resolution to this problem. And I'm like, you know what word you don't use? Refund. He said it like 5 different ways and never once used the word refund. I'm like, give him my money back. I paid for this yesterday. You wasted an hour and a half of my time. Give him my money back. He's like, I can't. We just don't have the money here. We don't. It's not something we do. They'll contact me in 2 days. All right. He goes, do you want these tickets? And first we were like, no. Because if I don't even want them. We're not going to use them. He goes, well, they're just done. And I was like, I don't want them. And he's like, well, here. I was like, well, then fine. Maybe I'll take them as like evidence or something that I didn't use the tickets. Or if somebody wants them on the way out, I'll be like, here's 3 free tickets. Midway, fucking right at halftime. 5 minutes left in the second. I mean, we're watching the game. We're like, dude, there's been scores that have gone on. Should be like, here's your money back, and then just use these for free. Sorry. I don't think we still would have gone. We're like, nah, get that for a half. We'll just leave. We just got to drive back to LA now. Anyway, a week passes. I don't hear shit from StubHub. So then I email them. I'm like, what's going on? You guys said you would, these tickets you gave me were fake. They said they would contact me. No one has. And they said, okay, we're still trying to get to you. Waited another week. They wrote me and said, okay, we've given you a $100 credit. And I'm like, and my money back? And they're like, no, just a $100 credit because of the fuck up. I'm like, but I didn't use the tickets. What $100 credit? The credits for the tickets. Give me that. I didn't use them. You fucked me up. I walked 40 minutes, then another 40 minutes. Give me my money back. Of course I have no legal recourse. Of course I have none. I can't do anything to you, giant corporation. I'm not going to get a lawyer. Get my $350 back. I'm like, you fucked up. Give me that money back. And I'm like, why am I even having this conversation? You should, like, immediately when there's a fuck up, you can't trust StubHub for real tickets. Rick was going to go to the fucking Royals game, World Series game in Kansas City, in San Francisco. He's going to drive up and get a hotel room. He doesn't got a lot of money. He barely has any money. He was going to waste a bunch, but then he's like, I'm not getting them through StubHub now. What if I get there and I get fake tickets and I have to pay for a hotel room and a car ride up there? Just wasted. You know who gave me back my money? The fucking lot guy. When I got back there at halftime, we said, hey, man, they sold us fake tickets. Can you give us our money back? We're only here for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the guy's like, you know what? Let me talk to my boss. And he goes, yeah, I'll give you your money back. He was cool about it. So then another 5 days pass, and they go, okay, we're going to issue a refund. And I'm like, why did I have to do this? Why did I have to finagle with you twice? You should give me the refund and the $100 credits and profusely apologize. So that's an example of a business who does shitty work. And I'm just not going to use StubHub again. With just garbage behavior, garbage fucking customer service. It's not like someone else sold the fake tickets to you. Your company fucked up. You know your guy's fucked up. Nobody gives a shit anymore. Nobody gives a shit anymore. Fuck StubHub. But that's what it is. And maybe, you know what? I'll relate that to the when a guy like Artie Lang posts some racist tweets on as a joke on Twitter. And when people are like, oh, we gotta contact the people who sponsor whatever show he's going to be on or the network itself. We got to get him off. No, you don't. You don't got to organize a boycott. You got to let people know that whoever it is who's hiring the guy hires racist people. And then you got to make your decision and your friends have to make their own decision whether or not you'll watch that network anymore. I personally will not use StubHub anymore. I can't trust them. I don't want to go through this thing anymore. That's okay if you fuck up, but then correct it. And when you don't correct it, it's like, oh, I can't trust you to correct what a problem you should never make. So when some comic says something shitty, organize a boycott where people can just click on Facebook and say, oh, we don't like him. We're gonna boycott your network. None of them do actually boycott the network. They just click a link on Twitter or Facebook saying, hey, fuck you, or Tumblr saying, hey, fuck you. And they don't have to actually do it. They'll never follow through. But then the network or the fucking sponsor bows down to that. Don't organize boycotts for things you don't like. And it's not even real boycotts. We organize a real boycott. Don't organize a fucking click through to be like, I don't like your business practices. I'm mad at you. That's all you're saying. You're not going to hold back your business. You're just mad at them. So step up. I'm not going to organize a boycott against you. I just won't use your stuff again. And if people ask me ever, how was StubHub? I go, I don't know. I've used them 3 times or something like that. And overall, I'm really unhappy with the average. I'm really unhappy with their service. I wouldn't use them. Just like if I told you, like, how's your lawyer? I'm like, oh, he's terrible. My lawyer's good. I mean, let's say I have, like, whatever. How's your doctor? He was awful. He talked down to me the whole time. Like, oh, cool. I probably won't go to him. Can't believe they did. I think I trusted StubHub. I thought they were like, you get your ticket off that. It'll automatically be real. And then here's what I said. I'm like, does this ever happen? They go, no. I forgot about this part. So me, Ingram, and Fahim were waiting there. We're like, what the f-? Walked all the way back. They're like, does this ever happen? Do you get fake tickets? And they're like, no. This is before we discovered that they was just their fuck up. They go, no, we never got that. Right then, a guy huffing and puffing walks back. He goes, hey, this one's fake too. They had already given him a fake ticket, gave him another ticket, and that one was fake too. And they go, no, it doesn't happen. It happened twice to that guy, 2 fake tickets, and twice to us for 2 fake tickets. They gave that guy who they just gave a fake ticket. He had to run back and run back again and then run back again. Twice. Man, I'd be mad if I was that guy. I wonder if he got his $100 voucher, if they didn't even bother. We're like, well, you went to the game, so fuck you. Anyway, that's just a cool example of, well, maybe not a cool example, but an example of good business practice by Noam at the Comedy Cellar and MasterCard, and bad business practice by LaughStub. All right, guys, that's the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 192. The Unicorn Whisperer is in the books. Don't forget, Wise Guys, this weekend in Utah, and then next weekend, Vancouver at the Comedy Mix. Check out all my shows at AriTheGreat.com. For the next 2 months, I'll be in New York working out new material. More than welcome to come out to the Stand, where I am 5-6 times a week, maybe more. Any other clubs that work out around the city, Cellar, Stand Up New York, even LOL, and the other clubs I'm going to start working out. I don't know. Come if you want, I guess. Do whatever. It's going to be a lot of riffing, so don't expect too much. All right. Episode 191 with Christine Marie Evans. Over and out.
Through the storms and the light, baby, you stood by my side, and life is wine. You feel the sweet breath of time. It's whispering its truth, not mine. There's no I in three sides.